from the provinces. I don't know if there is an MEC because we are all new. So the MEC I knew is no longer there, but I wish to say honorable MEC if he is there, and management. I've been welcoming people for the whole of last week. I started the other week welcoming. To a certain extent now, I'm running short of breath. So I just wish to say, but for the benefit of the people who were not there last week, I wish to welcome you in our first interaction as the Human Settlements team. We are a very much important team. So I think if I don't welcome you, there's somebody who's intimidating me. If I don't welcome you, I will be making an injustice for the other people. But what is important, I will also appreciate and your prompt response to our request, because we have done that in a very short notice. And we would understand if you would say, no, you are not coming. But because you are very committed in the task, to undertake the task that has been entrusted to you. So we are very much appreciating as the portfolio committee for that. And we reassure you that as we are starting the term, the new parliament, we are going to work collectively together with all the stakeholders that are there, more especially the key stakeholders, the department, the provincial department, and the national department. The president has already pointed out the direction. The manifesto was already there. The State of the Nation is articulating the route we are going to take. Ours is to just implement the programs that are there for government. And I hope that working together, we are going to do best. I think we should understand that the human settlement is quite a complex arena on its own. But if we work collectively, we will manage to overcome all the challenges that are there. So with those few words, I wish to welcome you all and hope that this meeting is going to be fruitful. Thank you very much. Today we are going to listen to the department, to the provinces, presenting their budget book for 2009. What are the plans that are there, targets, and everything. But we requested that we must at least get just a briefing on what has been done for the previous expenditure, because, you know, Parliament, we are having a tight schedule. Maybe we won't have time for that. And when we are debating this budget vote, we need to highlight some very much important issues, because, you know, people are saying we have not done anything. But if we have a word just to reassure people that we have done something and we are still going to do more. Thank you very much. I think we are going to start with Limpopo. Over to you. But I wanted to know each other. We must know, introduce ourselves, because we don't know at all.
Good morning. I'm Pakasabon from the ANC.
I'm Gloria Bowman from the ANC.
Morning, everybody. My name is Butch Stein, DA member. Morning, honorable members. My name is Archibald Figlin from the DA.
Good morning, colleagues and chairperson. My name is Loretta Jacobus from the ANC, and I also just take the opportunity to congratulate you on your appointment. I wasn't here when the committee sat last week. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Our guests.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and the members of the committee. My name is Richard Yangji from the Office of the Minister of Human Settlement. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Benedicta Mantin Monama. I'm from the Department of Housing in the province of Gauteng. Department of Local Government.
Morning, Chair, honorable members. Anthony Green, CFO with the Gauteng Department of Local Government and Housing.
Morning, members, colleagues. Pat Kuno, CFO, Department of Local Government, Housing, Limpopo.
Good morning. My name is still Joseph Leshavan from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning. My name is Adelaide Mohale from National Department of Human Settlements.
I'm Roy Bridge. I'm from the PMG, representing Durbanville.
My name is Wakumu Lukumi. I'm from the Department of Government Housing in Limpopo.
Good morning. I'm Leru Mokalako from the Office of the Minister.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kodisha Pasi, a committee secretary for Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements.
Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements, I would like to, I spoke to the MEC to phone the chairperson, because I would think I'm an official, but I hope he did. But with due respect, he's giving the budget speech tomorrow. So we have not been sleeping for the past few days. So he directed me to proceed, and then he will be available the next meeting. So I will do some I'm not going to go through that. It is just the that the housing program, human settlement program, are guided by the following policies, as they have mentioned there. Now, Limpopo, it is a very rural a province. The human settlement has to address both a rural situation and the urban development. So now, during our preparation, we have been mandated by our province that all our housing programs will respond to the strategic priority program that has been articulated by the president. So in Limpopo, we have identified in the human settlement program, we have identified rural development and massive program to build social and economic infrastructure as our guiding mandate. So now the focus, it is largely on the movement of people. So even in rural areas, we'll focus largely on where the people are concentrated and where people are increasing in numbers. Of course, in terms of urban, we'll be focusing on the economic growth towns. Now, those are the seven business principles of the human settlement plan. Now, this map that we have captured here, it is just that I don't have the pointer. We have identified a growth node, which is a Makado, Lephalale, Mokgalakwena, Polokwane, Rika Zanin, Rika Tubat. Why we identify this, we have discovered these are the towns that experience higher in migration because of the economic development in those areas. Now, in responding to human settlement requirements, we have got the following challenges. These towns that are experiencing growth, it is difficult to access land. Most government land in those areas, it is in the periphery. The well-located land, it is very expensive, and sometimes the owners speculate because knowing very well that there's a need. And the other challenge that we usually find in the small provinces like Limpopo is the capacity of contractors to deliver at a large scale. The third challenge is your bulk infrastructure. The infrastructure in this town, it is inadequate and old. It was meant for few people. So with the increased migration, this infrastructure is unable to cope to absorb the new people coming in this town. So this becomes a challenge for our human settlement development. Areas I have mentioned earlier, number four, that experience higher migration is Polokwane. Polokwane is the capital city of the province. It's a logistic hub. So many people are moving in those areas. And then Tubas is a mining town. But now, the challenge common to this kind of town, it is your bulk infrastructure and well-located land. And then, of course, planning. So you'll find that the human settlement program will have, in the layout plan, will have the health, will have a police station, will have education sites, but those sector departments in their plans have not planned for that kind of development. So those are some of the challenges that we have, uncreated planning. Now, we then came up with a strategy that we need to increase more focus in planning, that before we could build houses, we should spend more time on project feasibility studies and township assessment process. Of course, implement housing in a stage development approach. Now, in terms of rural development, we said the rural areas, some are dying, but some are growing. So our focus will be to those rural areas that are growing and try to integrate them between a city so that there's integrated type of development. And then issue of strategy of villages. We have challenges where when you allocate housing, councillors will say, I need 10 houses. The other councillor will say, I need 5. The other one says, I need 2. And then when you try to develop that way, you are not responding to the IDP or to how settlements should be developed. Then you respond to what people can want to help in their own world. But we have made it our strategy to say we need to focus on the high growth rural area and not respond to individual council needs. Our contact strategy, as I have said, that the problem, the challenge is also capacities of contractors. So we have come with the approach of mixing our emerging contractor and with highly capacitated contractors. So what we do, higher percentage of the budget allocations goes to established contractors, and of course 30-40% will go to emerging so that we manage the risk. Now, the other intervention is your public-private partnership or public-public partnership. We have already MEC has approved the protocol that the Housing Development Agency of National Housing should help us implement your private project. Now, in terms of the budget of last year, as it appears there, this was the 8 and 9 budget. It was 824 million. By the end of financial year, we did spend 824,806, which means it's 100% expenditure. For 9 and 10, we have got 996 million allocated to us. To date, we already spent out of the 322 million transferred by National Housing, we have already spent 310. So what it means is that in terms of the percentage, we have spent 31% of the 996 million budget. So in terms of the treasury guidelines, in the first quarter we should be spending 25% of the budget. So already we are about 25, we have 6% already ahead of the target. So what it means is that we have last year National Housing have indicated that if we do not spend the budget according to the target in the first quarter, they will take part of the budget and give it to the performing province. So at least I'm able to announce that nothing that will be taken by National Housing goes to other province, because already 6% ahead of the 25% target. Now, this is how the money will be allocated over 3 years. It's 996, 1.2, 1.4. The total amount over MCAF is 3.6 billion. But now, while these figures look nice and encouraging, the challenge, as I've highlighted, is around bulk infrastructure. So this money in itself, this 3.6 billion, does not include the bulk infrastructure. So you'll find that you've got a good plan and good money, but when you try to implement it, you get an hindrance or a challenge around the bulk infrastructure in the area. So that is a very serious challenge that we have in the port. Now, progress in 8 and 9, we have the target to reduce the informal settlement. So we have managed to build 6,491 houses, which reduced the informal settlement to 59,000 households. So in terms of percentage, we have got a 4.8% backlog in terms of the informal settlement. It means if which is a total of 1.3 households. So if we can have bulk infrastructure challenges addressed, this can be squashed before the 2014 in terms of the millennium goals. Now, we have got the overall housing backlog. In terms of the, we are using the statistics of 2007, of course, as it updates and we change the slide. The housing backlog in Limpopo is about 888,26 households, which is 15% of the total population. Then we are at the moment at the success rate, we are at 84.9%, so which means we've got only 15% to address, so that now the whole province won't have a housing backlog, of course, unless nature calls and then we have got new families coming to be. But at the moment, we are more or less there. And then last year, we managed to build 10,940 houses and 5,7455. So if the mixed funding was able to address your site, wouldn't be using our money to address these challenges. We'd be using all the money for the top structure. So now, servicing of sites has got impact on the number of the top structure that one has to deliver. So those are some of the challenges that one has to indicate as far as the grant is concerned. Now, we also have the houses that were affected by your 990 lease or your preemptive clause. So last year, we have, in 8 and 9, we have transferred 6,421 houses through discount benefit scheme. So these were the formerly townships that were built by either the Bantustans or your homelands or your former regime. So we have got a program of transferring these houses back to their owners. So we managed to deliver 6,421 houses in this program. We also established a call center strictly dealing with the housing queries. Here we invite communities to tell us any challenge that they see on site, whether it be your malpractice or any other form of query. We have got this line. We had about 10,000 queries received last year, and about 90% were responded to. And what was interesting is that even provinces that are not in Limpopo, which I don't want to mention, do phone to us and say, we have got a challenge in province A, then we'll try, what you do is you try to connect them with their own respective provinces. Now, we also have a challenge of technical skills in housing. We have appointed more than 40 project managers with technical skills in built environment, and we deploy them to municipalities because we discovered that there is some capacity challenges as far as the housing program in municipalities. So each municipality in Limpopo has got more or less 1 to 3 project managers deployed by the department. So this slide came twice. Now, in responding to human settlements program, we have identified a special project that deals with special structuring and integration of communities. So in the upper market of Polokwane, we are developing a high-density housing, which really aims to integrate the poor and the higher income. And then in Mokopane, we are also building an affordable housing, which is both your DNG or your RDP houses and the credit-linked house or bonded market. And in Lephalale, we, together with HDA, Housing Development Agency, we are developing 5,997 residential units that include your freestanding, your social housing, your bonded market. So these are the special projects that we are doing together with the Housing Development Agency to try to address the special challenges that were created by the previous government. But now, we do have challenges here. This project needs a private support. Now, we did this due to some economic crisis that everybody talks about now. These projects were affected because the financial modeling by the financiers became negative because of the poor consumption of the new housing properties. So I'm just trying to raise that. Why is it important to address, to develop this? But these are some of the challenges that we have picked up. Plans for 9 and 10. Chair, the MEC is giving the actual targets tomorrow, and then they may change during the night as I'm sitting here. So I avoided the numbers. I will just indicate to the committee that these are the programs that we have identified for this year. Then I will set immediately after he has given the budget speech, I will take the actual numbers and targets. So we have identify this project to respond to your social and economic infrastructure development as the strategic priority. So we identified residential integrated development program, rural housing program, site and savings program, farm worker housing program, hostel development program, community-driven housing, this PHP, your emergency houses, and of course, Limpopo had a challenge of some of the projects that were not complete some years ago, but this year it looks like we are finalizing this kind of program. And then we also have housing for military veterans, or something for military veterans, transfer of property, and accreditation of municipalities. This last one, Chair, we have prioritized it, but there is still a dispute around the size of the house. The veterans are saying they are not able to the 40 square meter, but the discussion between ourselves and the national housing to address that. So I'm seeing a challenge throughout the year about this, whether it will be implementable until the site structure is being agreed upon. So I'm just saying this is beyond the province. It is now at the national level. This is one of the beautiful houses that we're building in Limpopo. Some people are asking if this was built together with the private sector. No, it is our own from the ground. So we've been building 40 square meter and above for years. We have not built anything less than 40 square meter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much,
presenter. I think it's time for the members of honorable members to engage with Limpopo. But I think the issue of the councillors is a very serious problem. Because I think last week we had an information session with the department. And one of the issues that we identified as a critical challenge is these IDPs, the credibility of the IDPs. It's a very, very serious matter because these IDPs are just conducted for the sake of compliance. They are not having a vision. So it has proved that we were correct when we were discussing and engaging on this matter. It means we need to strengthen our partnership together with the Ministry of Cooperative and Traditional Affairs. Over to you, Honourable Members.
Honourable
Bome.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must congratulate the presenter on certainly starting with the budget figures and delivering on budget. Just a couple of things that I need to understand, though, and I want to perhaps pick up on what the chairperson has just said about the councillors and the housing. I want to ask whether in the allocation of the houses and with councillors just coming and asking, requesting houses, is there some sort of allocation criteria that you have on the, you know, on this allocation of housing? Because I think unless we have that, that's already a poor starting point. So if I can just have some clarity on that, because this is also where a lot of corruption can creep in, if we're not very clear about that. The other thing I want to ask, and especially since this is high on our manifesto and also what the President is saying, and that is the job creation. Have you identified what you are going to contribute by way of job creation, how many jobs you will be creating? And if we bring that in line with the President, we're talking about the 500,000 by December this year, if you've given any thought to that. I also just want to understand the upgraded 6,421 informal settlement homes that you're talking about, as opposed to new houses built for 10,940. I just want to understand what the upgrade is of the 6,421. Is that a proper housing structure, or is that just some upgrading? That's, I'll leave it there. The other thing is, I just want to comment also on the planning. I think that you have hit the nail on the head, unless our planning, and we heard this from HDA the other day, where it should be planning, planning, planning. Otherwise, what happens is, and I talk from experience here, you rush in without your proper plans and you end up with huge problems at the end of it. So, you know, I think that that is critically important. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some of the questions have been covered, but I also want to express my dismay that the province appeared to be dictated to by the needs of councillors rather than the formal process that should be followed, and I'd certainly like to hear more about that. The rural backlog, and the comment was made that they're going to follow the movement of people. Now, I'm not quite sure. Chairperson, if that is in fact the correct way to go, because particularly in the rural areas, people will tend to migrate towards the economic hubs, but the intention is never to settle down there. Now, if we're going to be following the movement of people to try and accommodate them, then, you know, in their old age, they're actually going to end up with no housing. So I would like to put it to the presenter that perhaps we should start looking, particularly in the rural areas where we do have lots of vacant land outside the periphery of the current economic hubs, that perhaps we should start looking at forming new economic hubs, which will assist with economic activity, new jobs, all that sort of stuff. Then I'm quite frankly amazed that I'm looking at the what is described as strategic challenges, and none of them are new. They've come before us before. What I'm not getting is how they're actually going to deal with these. The planning, the backlogs, the infrastructure, it's not something that happened last year as a challenge. They've been with us for many, many years, and we're not hearing how we're actually going to deal with these things. Then, Chairperson, if I may just ask, it follows on the question, I'm not sure about the informal dwellings that have been upgraded. Is it incremental, or is it in fact a completed unit? Because my next question related to that would be in terms of the 08-09 delivery. According to the report, it's just over 17,000 units. Now, the department gave us a report last week where they indicated the housing delivery for Limpopo is 16,600. Now, why does that anomaly, they should either report, unless they're adding in what they've done for this quarter. Because I'd like to also know in terms of your expenditure of your 31% or whatever it was for this current financial year, what sort of delivery is related to that particular expenditure. Chairperson, the project managers, 40 project managers in Limpopo sounds astounding, and if that is true, then I think they need to share that perhaps with some of the other provinces, because we've experienced that particularly at project management level there's a shortage. Now, we've also experienced, Chairperson, during our visits with the provinces, that they appoint people as project managers who, in fact, are not qualified project managers, although they hold their title. So perhaps some clarity is that somebody that has finished school or some technical certificate and is appointed as a project manager, or is it, in fact, truly project managers? Because then I'm sure HDA would probably want to tap into that resource. Then lastly, Chairperson, the incomplete projects. If the presenter could indicate what sort of budget they've allowed within this current financial year, specifically for incomplete projects. Thank you.
No other hands. All right. I think before we respond, I think there's a question of the social and the housing rental program. We haven't had the presenter touching that because the National Department of Housing has got, I think it's about 1,000 units that are going to be spread all over the provinces for this current year to accommodate social and rental housing. So we would like to hear from you if you do have that program and or if we have not. And then the issue of the involvement of NHBRC to your projects. We would like to hear if do you have any commitment to that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I want to start with the Honourable Mr. Stein, when he talked about the issues that are challenges are not new. The reasons why we're raising the bulk infrastructure challenge year in, year out, I think it is important that the chairperson of the portfolio committee and honourable members should be aware of this. Because what I'm trying to say here is that the housing grant cannot be used to build a reservoir. The housing grant can't be used to build sewer treatment work. That fund lies with the other the other department, particularly your MIG funding. So, and then now with the MIG funding as well. The MIG funding is largely to address issues of backlog in terms of connection. The amount available, a municipality will get about 14 million. One municipality will get 2 million ethnic funding. It can't build a sewer treatment work. And these municipalities in Limpopo particularly, the revenue raising capacity is non-existent. They are largely rural municipalities that depend entirely on 90% on equitable share. Only one or two municipalities can raise their own revenue. So this has been raised to you, Chair, to say, when you, somewhere there, where I as an OPR am not participating, you can have this kind of pains that we are experiencing as officials at the implementation level, that there is issues of bulk that has some certain element of delay in the housing implementation. So unless it is addressed and solved, we'll continuously raise it. Otherwise, if we ignore it, we'll come here and say we've got about 36.1 billion, and then when we experience issues of expenditure, then you say, why don't you spend money? Because you cannot build a house without a toilet and water. If you do that, it is also a disaster as well. It can cause quite a number of challenges around disease and communicable diseases. So that is why I'm raising this. It is for honorable members to help us. Now, the issues of allocation. When IDP, it is a planning tool of municipality which guides us where to allocate housing. In the IDP, to indicate areas that need to be attended to in terms of a housing program. But sometimes at the council level, then there's a discussion between my area has not been developed for the past 20 years. So those are some of the challenges that we experience. Of course, our MEC is addressing, has taken that as a priority, has already addressed SALGA on that, and they will continuously engage the municipality to adhere to their IDP plans. Now, job creation. We have planned in our unit to create more than 2,000 jobs from the housing program. To which I said I will fix the target to the chairperson after the MEC has done the budget speech. But I know in terms of our plans, more than 2,000, about 2,700 jobs to be created. Informal settlements. We in Limpopo we build complete structure. It's either we move people for a minimum of more or less 5 or 2 kilometers to a new area if the area that they decide is uninhabitable, or we build structures where they are. So it's a complete structure. Now, of course, planning, I will take that as a comment, and then this year we focus in more emphasis on that. Issues of councillors is exactly what I have addressed, that the MEC has put an emphasis on the adherence to IDP rather than individual needs. But what we also did this year, we have put a program on update of housing demand, creation of housing demand database. We're going to have a provincial housing demand database, which will have all the beneficiaries captured there, and then we will then load it to national and through the web and become a national database. It will help us in the guiding the allocation. So already appointed a service provider, and then we have started with the social facilitation in that regard. Now, with rural revitalization, in terms of the strategic program of government this year, for the next 5 years, rural development has been identified as an area of focus. Even in rural areas, honorable members, the rural areas themselves have got the growth areas. We have identified, in terms of the slide number two, item number two on the slide there, it says focus on high population concentration areas. What we are saying is that even the rural areas themselves, there are those that are identified as nodes and that have got potential to grow. So our housing development will be focusing on those areas, rural areas that are growing. So we are not just going to only focus on the urban areas. The expenditure for this year, yes, we have a project housing, in housing, the projects, because of their nature and their infrastructure in nature, they tend to overlap to the other year. So that's why you start seeing the expenditure happening at this moment. Our project manager, what we have done in Limpopo, we have every year we advertise the interns from universities,
technical and technical, with an average qualification of 3 years in building environment, either as quantity surveyors or as building inspectors, some as civil engineers. They differ, but all of them in the, some as architecture, some all of them in the built environment. What we do, we absorb them as interns. We absorb up to 20 per year, and then we expose them into housing development. At the end of the year, we put an advert, and they apply, and most of the time, we tend to absorb 80 to 90% of them. And, of course, after 3 years, we lose them back to the private. Those are some of the challenges. But to avoid that gap, every year we absorb new in the intern so that now we can they become applicable for appointment if others leave and go to the private sector. This year, with projects that were not completed, we're aiming to complete more or less 3,000 units, and then this program we close, and then it is done. Because we already finished 7,000 units for the past 2 years. Total rental housing, we do have a project, but not at the high, at the top start of construction. We are at the level of planning, that is engineering design, architecture design. As we said, we focus on, if you look at slides, bullet number three on item number one, forward planning. The third bullet says, phase development approach. What it means, to avoid this problem of projects not being completed, we phase our project into phases. Our social housing this year is still at phase one, which is your largely planning, and then the following year it will be your top structure. Now the NHBRC, in Limpopo, we have got a structured relationship with NHBRC. Our project managers, together with their inspectors, formed a team that they inspect projects jointly. Every year when we plan a project, we take the little projects and we give to them for enrollment. So up so far, we do not have challenges around NHBRC involvement. We're working very close to them, and they also help us to suspend contractors that are not building quality houses. And we do our inspection together. So we don't have a problem at Jefferson.
Thank you very much. I think the issue of the IDPs, Mr. Sharad, we hope that you are going to us this year, because the state department must ensure that these municipalities are being assisted. So we hope that you will assist us, not by responding, but by developing strategies how to make sure that this problem is being addressed, because it is very crucial. And the other point of addressing the focus on the rural areas that have got a huge capacity. So I think we need to also balance the so we have to balance there, because make it balance. Because those people, they are there in those rural areas that have fewer people. They have to benefit even themselves. So I don't say you are not doing it, but I just want to put an emphasis that those people must also be accommodated. I don't know the issue of the backyard dwellers. Do we have the problem of the backyard dwellers? And lastly, I think the issue of we tend to forget about this equity, the how many people that have been accommodated with people with disabilities. I think it is very much important to our report, and also the issue of the child-headed households. But I think if in future we must make sure that when we are presenting, those people must be also accommodated. Just have a few responses, and then we are going to... Oh, Mr. Stain, and also Honorable Woman, Mr. Shabani will be the last.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I just ask, is the housing department in Limpopo, is it also local government and housing, or are they two separate departments? I see the presenter shook his head, which means yes. Now, that brings me to the question about park infrastructure. He spoke, and we've been aware of this problem for many years, but I mean, he spoke as if it wasn't their problem. Now, if it's one department, local government and housing, then they, more than anybody else, should be aware that they should plan in tandem. So I don't buy this thing about the parking. I know it's a problem, but they should plan for it. Now, the presenter also suggested that he bring it to us so that we do something about it, and that municipalities in their province don't have an income base. And that may very well be true, Chairperson. But I would imagine there are other avenues within government as a whole whereby they could apply for funds, because it is a necessity for people, for service delivery. So there must be other means of accessing money if the municipalities don't have a funding revenue. So either he must tell us exactly what he wants us to do, or they must certainly investigate where, how they can access funds within government for those big projects. Then, Chairperson, the presenter hasn't answered my question. I always query, and I will continue to do so until I'm satisfied, because I don't agree with government in terms of their so-called 2.8 million houses that they've delivered to date, because the totals just never add up. And this is a classic example where the department has given us one figure and we get a different figure from the province. Then, in terms of what I'd also like to know, and I can't get a straight answer from anybody, when they complete incomplete projects, and they've done 7,000 units over the last 2 years, do they get added into the total for that particular financial year? They're going to be doing 3,000 units this year. Will that be part of the total delivery for this year? Or because I would imagine those 3,000 units were captured previously as under construction. And this is where my question about the double accounting comes in, Chairperson. Then the NHBRC, I want to put a very direct question. The presenter indicated they've got no problems with NHBRC. Do they have any units that have not been registered with NHBRC over the last 2 or 3 years? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. That was exactly what I was wanting to raise about the bulk infrastructure. It concerns me if this is something which has been raised year after year. Now, I think, in addition, I don't want to repeat all that the Honourable Member has said there. In what way can we as a committee assist, or can the national department who are also here, is there some way in which, we can assist here? Either the province themselves have got to go and do something so that today we actually go from here knowing what it is we're going to be, who we're going to be holding it to account here. Because I think it's very bad to constantly have a thing like that coming on the program. Just very briefly, on the technical skills, I hear your the way you're using that. Just a question on all the housing development and the skilling of your people who do not have any technical expertise, your sort of labor component in your housing. Are you skilling people to do bricklaying and some plumbing, some carpentry at that elementary level the projects, the housing projects that you have? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just thought I may assist the committee in respect of three particular specific issues. The one relating to job creation. I suppose what we will have to be looking at is both the direct and indirect job creation. The general sector, or rather construction sector industry norm, is that it takes 23 person days to construct between 40 and 60 square meter top structure. Now, I'm just giving conceptually here, just so that when we come back with the figures, the members may appreciate where we come from. And therefore, notwithstanding the preparatory work, as in clearing the sites and preparing the sites, insofar as the top structure is concerned, the industry norm is 23 person days. Now, that's direct jobs created. That's so much people involved on site in putting up that structure. There is a knock-on effect on related and allied industries that supply the housing sector, and therefore the material supply and so forth. That chain also benefits, because for as long as there's a supply to our program, that means we maintain the jobs in those other sectors. And therefore, we will come back with the figures. They remain estimations. And therefore, understanding that construction is, by its nature, labor intensive, and therefore opportunities do arise to, and you can split that depending on how contractors want to push or rather accelerate their contracts. They may require double sheets and those sort of things. But we will come back to the committee with regard to the job creation possibilities. That's on the one side. In respect of bulk infrastructure, what we are pointing out, and our annual planning exercises with provinces confirm this, that the country as a whole is approaching a point where the spare bulk capacity of our infrastructure is diminishing. What that means is that additional investments in bulk infrastructure development are required. Now, the extent of which is that that requires creative planning, and I'm saying creative planning insofar as optimizing land use, no use putting pipes that are taking water hundreds of kilometers, and therefore the spatial order that is necessary and efficient will then be responded to. Now, that's the reality, that the bulk infrastructure is, its capacity is diminishing, rather the spare capacity, that means the ability to keep adding more and more and more users is diminishing, and therefore putting pressure on the need to expand that infrastructure. The corollary to that is that we have aging bulk infrastructure, and therefore the balance between maintenance of what is there vis-a-vis adding what is new, sometimes it is not properly appreciated at a point of decision making in a municipality, and therefore there is a national dialogue that is necessary around the question of infrastructure. It is not just a human settlements issue, it's a governance issue at the local government level, across the spheres, across government in total. And lastly, Madam Chair, the NHBRC enrollment. The NHBRC came into being in the late 90s. I think, if I'm not mistaken, thereabouts 99. What that tells us is that there would have been houses that are not enrolled prior to that. Following that, there were, and the NHBRC did point to that, there were limitations in respect of the compulsory nature of enrollment for subsidy houses. And therefore, there was a period wherein not all houses were enrolled until the ministerial determination that required that all houses be enrolled. So I'm just saying it will be very difficult for one to come with a single figure that says so many houses are enrolled and so many are not. Because the quality requirements were determined in terms of different standards. It's only in 2004 when the minister introduced the new minimum norms and standards, which shifted the quality expectations. Which quality minimum norms and standards were generated in consultation with the NSPRC. I'm just saying, Madam Chair, that we will need to draw that distinction, that there was a period when the NHBRC was not in place, and then there was a period where it was not compulsory to enroll subsidy houses, and then there was a phase when the requirements were imposed such that for certain categories of houses, they had to be enrolled with the NHBRC. And that is a growing practice as we go forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks, I'm just going to give one example. There is a Nandoni Dam in Limpopo, which is overflowing. There is a municipality next to Nandoni Dam called Makani, which has got water challenges. For you to service that municipality, you must build a pipe from Nandoni Dam, I'm just giving an example, to that Makado municipality. And after building the dam, you must also come out with your water treatment works so that the water becomes consumable. And then you must also have sort of a reservoir that will store water if it comes from the dam. That function itself, it is neither a local government's responsibility nor human settlement grant is responsible. It falls under other departments. In this case, you are likely to be the Department of Water and Environmental Affairs, which is the new DWE. So now, those are some of the real challenges. The slide says the bulk infrastructure is old and inadequate. What it means, what is existing in the municipality? It was meant for a certain group of people at that time. Now, the influx of people into town have made that little spare capacity of infrastructure overused. So those are some of the issues that are becoming more common. Thanks for the word to say it is now a national dialogue. So it is now a national dialogue. I think let me leave it at that level. And then thank you, Shavana, about NHBRC. In fact, it was only 2003 that the NHB started to enrolling housing projects. Initially, it was not, as you indicated. Now, the statistics. If you add your 5,000 and 10,000, come around to 16,000 units, housing opportunity more or less. So it depends. Sometimes it depends at the time when the person was taking the statistics. So what you can maybe check is the deviation, whether the deviation is too much or not. So if somebody has kept a statistic at a certain time, and one come and gives a statistic at a certain time, it differs with the timing. But the margin of variation, of course, it cannot be too much. So I still believe that the figures that we have here and the one that Nicole have, it is the same figure. It's 5,075 plus 10,000, it goes to 16,000. The backyard dweller. Yeah, we have a challenge around backyard dwellers, particularly in the formal township, existing township, which need to be addressed through your green field. So we are at the moment, as I've indicated, that we are busy doing housing demand database and also developing the waiting list for the province, and we'll then use that to draw people, the backyard dwellers to be the beneficiaries of our housing projects. But of course, they were benefited. The emphasis was largely trying to clean the informal settlement. But at the same time, we do have this backyard dwellers. But we do not have what you call backyard dweller program like that housing. We use our normal housing projects to get people on the waiting list to benefit. Yeah, then comment noted on child-headed families and disabilities. So I think with this study of housing demand database, we'll be able to know the targeted families and then which beneficiaries are belonging into the disabled group. The skilling of laborers, we have got a relationship with NHBRC. They train laborers in bricklaying and construction. But of course, the numbers may not be that huge, but we do have such kind of relationship. Of course, some of our contractors, subcontractors, went through Hakasonke program, which was led by the Department of Labor. So we do have such kind of relationship year in, year out, to try to skill our laborers. And over and above, we have got we had Cuban engineers that were helping our laborers in terms of the construction methods. So what we should then be moving to next level for those Cuban engineers to address their training, but because their training were not necessarily accredited, but they were doing that formally, helping our people to develop skills in terms of construction. Your houses that are not completed, when we come to the completed units, we count them as completed units. There's a difference between housing construction and the completed units. So that's where we should draw the distinction. So I think, Chair, I have tried.
So I think, let's thank you. Honourable Baman, just something.
Not on this. I just want to say, and I realise some of the difficulties that we had in getting here because of elections and late and da-da-da-da-da, but I wonder if in future, and we've said this in some of our other hearings as well, if we can please have reports before, you know, just to arrive here and be given a report, it doesn't give us really the chance to do the homework we need to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me apologise for them, really, because of this parliament pressure. Parliament has been opened 2 weeks back. Now we have these challenges. But next time, I think next year, because next year we are coming, and even during the course of the year, we will request you to appear before the portfolio committee. So I hope you will do your utmost best to ensure that you receive the documents earlier. Thank you very much, Mr. Van. It's difficult for me to pronounce the Mpopo spelling. But I think one message. There's a municipality that is next to Mozambique border. Is it Palapa? No, it's got another name, I forgot it. You know, that municipality, there's a serious problem there. They say at a certain stage, the project will just come into a standstill because those people have gone home. And the report we got there, they say our people are lazy, so they cannot appoint the South Africans. They depend to the people from. You remember that we said we were not there. So I think that problem should be addressed. You cannot really say so. We were very much amazed at the portfolio committee, but we did not want to comment. We just said, let's leave this, because seemingly there's a lot of confusion in this municipality. So, but I think in future, when we're going there, we will make sure that those issues are being addressed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for
cooperation, because you have been so cooperative. You were the first one to present. But because of the circumstances of the flight, the Limpopo have to connect. So we appreciate your cooperation. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Just Chairperson, we're just waiting for the presentation to be flighted, and there are documents that will be distributed, and maybe just apologize that we distributed them late. We will improve and ensure that to enable preparation by the members, we distribute them earlier than now. Yeah. Thank you. As I said, my name is Benny Munama, the head of the department, and Anthony Green is the CFO. We are together going to handle the presentation. But by way of introduction, I should say maybe just fly quickly through obvious issues such as the mandate. Maybe not obvious, because when we presented ourselves the last time, we were just the Department of Housing. Now we are the Department of Local Government and Housing. Our mandate has been revised to be that of to ensure the provision of housing and the effective functioning of local government across the province in order to build sustainable communities and facilitate shared and equitable social and economic growth and development. We draw mandates like all the other nine provinces from the basic legislative framework that is there regarding the constitution, delivery of housing, but also now very recently from the manifesto of the ruling party. And drawing from that, there are two key out of the five that the manifesto outlines, that of creation of decent work and sustainable livelihoods, and creation of decent work and sustainable, creation of decent work and sustainable livelihoods. What I'm going to do, Chairperson, just to go over, through the strategies, we will also refer to the project as we, or our targets as we planned and achieved last year, and we'll indicate what are the priorities for this year. Obviously, as we say, our priorities are that of ensuring that we create sustainable livelihoods, but again, through accelerating delivery of housing, alleviate poverty, and ensure that through access to property, we improve the wealth, or we improve the wealth creation, because then now we are adding to the wealth of the owner by way of allocation of a house, and also through job through our construction programs create jobs. We are not at the moment able to give the figures, but as we complete our documents after the budget speech of the NEC as well, we will be able to share with the portfolio committee the number of jobs that we are intending to create. But that has always been at the heart of our program. We know that through our construction program, we do create a lot of jobs. And we do also have a program that we dedicate and call an EPWP program, in terms of which we train young aspirant contractors. And so we have actually even created a fully fledged construction company from those that we have trained through EPWP. We've got a youth company that is already in the process of creating houses, and that youth company would have come from our EPWP pilot program. Indicated, our short-term priorities for 2009-2010 will be the implementation and promotion of mixed housing settlements in order to deal with the housing backlog. We'll continue to formalize and eradicate identified informal settlements. We'll create rental and social housing opportunities, provide maintenance of infrastructure in identified urban areas, provide housing to military veterans. This is a national program, so we do also have it as a priority program. Promote home ownership, obviously, is a key as a priority. Ensure the provision of incremental housing, and ensure job creation, as I've already said. For instance, instead of going straight to the problems, let me start with just an overview of the challenges that we have. And as I go through the programs, I will then go individually into each and every one of our programs to illustrate what our challenges are. broadly, housing backlog in Gauteng increases yearly because of new people that apply and therefore the numbers of deliveries do not match. And I can almost hear the honourable member saying, and this will not be in the presentation, it's just as I said, an overview. And then we'll come to the presentation. The first page of the presentation is starting with the summary planned project to H209. And but I thought I should just give them a background and then I'll come to the written story. And I was saying our housing backlog in Gauteng will continue to increase for obvious reasons, but Gauteng becomes attractive, I'm sure, like, you know, any other urban area elsewhere in the world, and we're not the only ones. I'm sure Western Cape will be suffering from the same challenge. And even within those that we normally refer to as rural provinces, though there is the pattern that towards the urban areas of those so-called provinces, there would be a movement from the traditional rural areas to the modernized areas that we refer to as urban areas. And we are going to have this problem for a long time. I believe it's something that has got to be dealt with at the national level. It's something that cannot be dealt with by the provinces alone. And I'm saying, I know this is a challenge that is known to all members. It's something that we would also want to repeat so that if there should be a system by way of approach, then we should all be involved. Lack of alignment between the NIC and subsidy conditional grants. This is an issue that was also raised by the Limpopo presentation, where we find that grants that are relevant for the provision of housing, someone, maybe not directly, but very, very crucial, are not resident within either the Department of Local Government or the Department of Housing or the Department of Local Government and Housing. The example that Limpopo has given would also hold true in all the other provinces. And for as long as the NIC grant is identified as a grant outside the provision of human settlement, and for that matter we're talking integrated human settlement, we'll not be able to deal to resolve the kind of issues that Limpopo has already raised and we will continue to also raise. So there is really an issue, and I'm pleased to hear from the National Department of Human Settlement that this issue is not being dealt with at the national level. Immigration, which goes with the first point around urbanization, we're trying to manage this, it's again a situation that requires more than just the Department of Local Government and Housing and Housing. It has got to do with a whole lot of us, perhaps the Department of International Relations, perhaps the Department also of Home Affairs, maybe the Department of Economic Development in the province and out and the National Department. How do we manage this? But for as long as people believe that there is more opportunity in housing than elsewhere, not only in South Africa but in on the continent, there will be quite a lot of movement towards this point, and that obviously weighs things, not only on housing, even though I'm speaking for housing, but it's throughout all these social services that the Gauteng province and a similar province that, or a province that finds itself in a similar condition will always experience. Land invasion or lack of flexible land is another thing for Gauteng. It's a very small province, and the large portion of that land is owned private hands, and I mean it's very costly to buy land in Gauteng. We talk millions. The last payment of the recent payment that we've done for how big is that land? Some 200 plus hectares. We have to pay something like 20 million. Is it? I think 20 million in this northeast. And that's an example. Some pieces of land come very expensive. So that's another challenge that we're facing. We're trying to manage that by introducing walk-ups and high-rises. We have started with some 2-3-story blocks. We really feel compelled to introduce very higher buildings, but that is costly. It's more expensive than the subsidy that you are given. And once you introduce that, it means you must also tinker with the subsidy that is available. And maybe by way of completing that, as I said, overall challenges. The subsidy size is also a serious challenge, and particularly for a province that is trying to introduce different typologies like walk-ups, the 54 or 55,000 for a housing unit is definitely not sufficient, because we have evidence just from what we are already implementing, that if you are talking high rises, if you're talking just walk up 2-3-story buildings, you're definitely talking more than 54,000 per unit. And already that is eating into the budget. And if you're talking eradication of hostels, you're definitely talking more than 54,000 or 55,000 per unit. So that is also another issue that will continue to become a challenge for Gauteng. But coming to the programs, on the board, we have 5 programs that we had utilized in order to deliver on housing, to deal with the issues of backlog, to deal with the issues of rental and so on. And maybe by way of threading, those 5 programs are still relevant today for the year 2009-2010, because we still are dealing with housing backlog, we still are dealing with eradication of former settlements, community front, and so on. So those are our 5 programs: mixed housing development and formal housing, eradication of informal settlements. The purpose of, or the objective of, the mixed housing development and formal housing is to focus on development of flagship projects on well-located lands in an integrated fashion. This is a problem in terms of which housing intends to mix the special the residential areas to deal with the special capital that we have inherited, and to put the low cost and the high income people together, to mix the types of the different typologies, and not find only so-called RDPs, which we prefer to refer to as BNG units now, and to get the rental and also permanent ownership or permanent title in those areas. And for last year, we had targeted to deliver 30,000, but we revised and our targets came to that figure that is. And we'll explain the reasons as we go on why we have to revise. Or maybe let me just do the reasons now. Just an overview of the reasons. Last year, we have had changing conditions economically. Material prices went up about 4 times in a year, particularly steel. We have had to manage that situation, and the National Department did revise the subsidy, but that meant that we had had to reduce our targets, because we couldn't deliver the same amount of housing or housing units, given the that would have meant then that we needed to revise our targets to fit the amount of money that was at our disposal. Eradication of informal settlements is quite straightforward to formalize. You find that there are informal settlements strewn all over Gauteng. This is mostly where people would have decided to move into an area, settle there for a long time. And in terms of our formalization process, we will formalize those settlements and where we are able to improve them and even sort of eradicate them, we'll develop in the same a piece of land, bring everything, do all the formalization processes that have got to be done, bring water and sewer, bring electricity, and as I say, if possible, bring the top structure, and then in that way eradicate the informal settlements. In other instances, we'll have to do it temporarily, bring water and sewer, and because the land is not suitable, maybe because of dolomite or other reasons, we then have to relocate people to other places. We have had a target to eradicate our informal settlements, and we had those numbers at the beginning of the year. We revised them downwards in order to accommodate the amount of money that we had at our disposal. Alternative tenure is another program that deals with rental. And I'm taking this opportunity also to address some of the questions that the chairperson raised regarding rental units. We through our alternative tenure program, we address the issue of social housing. This is where, through an organization that used to be an agency for the Department of Housing, now an agency for the Department of Finance, raise resources and assist people to business people to create units for rental and ensure that then through those units they're able to pay back the money, but in the meantime provide the rental housing to people who can afford. Again, in terms of this program, we create CRUs or community rental units. And we do this through the eradication of the hostels. We reclaim the piece of land that on which the hostels are created, demolish the hostels and create CRUs. And the third type of rental units that we create under this program is targeting space or piece of land behind the people's houses, backyard rental. We've successfully done two projects in Gauteng, in Johannesburg in particular, and other municipalities have shown interest. We're expanding to other municipalities, so there'll be three more projects under this program of a backyard rental. So under that program of alternative tenure, we are dealing with hostels, social housing, and backyard rental. And those would have been the figures that we've targeted. Revised down because of the subsidy. Urban renewal, it's an additional program that we have. Together with 20PTP, these programs are intended to go into townships and to revitalize dilapidated infrastructure, to create new infrastructure that has not been there that is required, to look at the face of the townships and see where we can improve and to bring into those townships local economic development opportunities. The urban renewal program is the three, Bakersfield, Alexandra and Everton, would have been townships that were identified, Alexandra by the president and Bakersfield and Everton by the premier. These are very, very old townships that are very, very dilapidated, and there will be the number of projects in those townships that would have targeted various different areas, from construction of roads, stormwater drain, the renewal of a hall, building of a clinic, but with an emphasis, especially since 2008, on the creation of housing. And the 20 PTP would have been another special program where 20 old townships would have been identified by the Premier with a special emphasis on ensuring that all of those townships have tarred roads by the end of a particular term. But there are challenges which we will share as we go on. the next slide, therefore, shows what we would have achieved in the different quarters of 2008 and 9, and finally what would have been completed vis-a-vis the target. We would have targeted to achieve the those numbers there. I think CFO, you assist. I'm not reading the numbers. The numbers are not quite reading the way I'm seeing them here. But if I'm missing anything, you'll assist me. Those would have been the targets that have been achieved under the project-linked mixed housing development. The 7097 would have been the units achieved vis-a-vis the numbers that would have been targeted, 8846. And then the next slide around eradication of informal settlements would have targeted 19250 and would have achieved 3854. And I think the immediate question is, you said you have revised your targets downwards. Why have you achieved more than what you have revised? What is your revised number? What happened was, because at the beginning of the year we would have allocated projects and would have allocated a particular number of projects to a particular contract. And in the year, we would have experienced challenges around material increase and all of those challenges that I mentioned at the beginning. And the National Department would have come in and said, let's raise the subsidy in order to deal with those challenges. And in raising the subsidy, it necessarily means you've got to calculate your targets downwards. But then because we had already allocated these targets, the contractors would have gone on to deliver on the numbers they had. And fortunately, we would have approached the National Department for additional resources, and the National Department had identified resources coming from those projects in other provinces that were not able to deliver. And that's how we would have been able to allow, even though on paper we'd have downscaled our targets. I'm just saying at the beginning I must explain why we had downsized, but then even continued to exceed our targets. That's how we have managed to do it. And then alternative tenure, and those would have also been our targets there. As against the completed units as against the targets that are registered up there. With the urban renewal, I think this slide does not assist, because with urban renewal we actually look at projects and we say out of so many projects we have completed a given number of projects. And that slide does not really assist in terms of, I think we need to give information that shows which projects are we talking about and where are we in terms of that, because if you're just saying 30 out of 90 projects have been achieved, it doesn't really explain what is it that you're talking about. So I'm committing us to submit information that is meaningful, that really makes sense around our urban renewal and 22 prioritized functions. In essence, the units and housing units that we delivered are 80,000 this year, what type of 61,000. This would be houses, rental units, units in the hostel, and so on. And the last slide there says out of a target of actually 1,000, we've been able to achieve 80,000 units. That would have been last year's performance record. And the next page is around the figures, and I'm sure the CFO will be able to talk to those two slides once I'm finished too. But they are quite straightforward. It just says this is how much expenditure was given, a budget was given, and this is the extent to which we have utilized the budget across those programs, that are the individual subsidy, informal settlements, housing, in most of them, we have spent 100% in one, we spent under by 97, and then in the other, we spent more by, in terms of vis-a-vis what was allocated to us. And then the next slide that I just want to address is I hope I'm not really loading the chairperson and the committee with challenges. I said I was giving a broad an overview of the challenges regarding housing delivery, but if you had to go instrument by instrument, each one of the instruments that you're applying, we are experiencing challenges. I don't know whether I should go through them, or we should just leave them as recorded, and because we do actually even also give solutions as to how we think we can do that. But in my introduction, I tried to raise those that we believe require attention and the assistance of the chairperson and the committee. Then the next slide, therefore, following all of these slides, are giving a list of challenges at the 2009-2010 indicative figures. We are targeting for this year to deliver 17,968 stands. But as I should also explain, we normally just take advantage for granted that people understand what you're talking about, but you should remember this is a new committee. Service stands means we're going out there to service stands without necessarily creating infrastructure. And later come back and complete the infrastructure. So we target to service this year, 17,000 stands. We then target to deliver 26,530 housing units. This may not necessarily be on the same stands, because as we were working, coming from the past, we have created stands, so we'd be delivering houses, some on the old stands that have been created in the previous program, and some on the new that we are targeting this year. So that's why there won't be a correlation between the houses and the stands that we're delivering. And the other units will be rental units that will be straddled between the three programs, that is our hostel, social housing, and low-cost of CRU units. And then we do have resources for planning that we have also tried to accommodate the planning for the two regions, and the other regions do not have sufficient resources, but what we are deciding is that money will have to be shared amongst the four regions that we have. Our total budget is this, as stated there, 2.443271194924, and if you are to include the adjustments, the 15% annual adjustment will actually need 2.8 billion 0976 2713. the next page just also says, over and above what we have as a budget, these are some of the areas that we find difficult accommodation within the budget as we have. It means we've got to do some shifting and downsizes and chopping and cutting as and when we go, depending on the progress. We will require for enrollment NHPRC. You've raised the issue around whether or not you're working with NHPRC. We do, and we, and in order to have NHPRC assisting us, we've got to pay them. And that's the amount of money that you require. Upscape, we need much more than 50 million. From our capital grant, we've got to the top slide 50, but we know that our requirements are more than that, because so the capacity keeps growing, and that of delivering on the capital grant, but the budget to maintain that growing capacity is itself not growing. Communication, the other issues, provincial urban renewal program, Everton and Vegas style require those figures, 175 for both of them. I referred to Gauteng Partnership Fund. This was an organization that it was an agency that was accountable to the Department of Housing last year. But in terms of the new reorganization of the Gauteng Provincial Government, this Gauteng Partnership Fund is now going to be meshed with what is existing Gauteng Fund, and it will be answerable or accountable to the Department of Finance. What Gauteng Partnership Fund was doing was to utilize whatever capitalization grant that they received from the Department of Housing, approach the private sector, and leverage funding from the private sector, and with that funding assist in terms of creation of housing or social housing units. According to their formula, if we advance them with 250 million as a capitalization grant, they're able to raise 1 billion as an additional fund from the private sector. And they've been doing this. They're able to show how it works. And in order for that process to continue, we require to give them an additional 250. We believe it is something that should be done because we have seen that it works. From 250, we're able to leverage 1 billion and utilize that in order to improve, particularly on the rental stock, to deliver more on the rental stock. Housing asset management. Just basic management of those housing units that you have inherited that are rental, we've got to manage them somewhat. Professional fees are not included, or even if they're included, they're not fully included in the subsidy. For instance, if you are to do like registration of a title deed, you require conveyancing services. And we know that the conveyancing allocation within the subsidy does not match what the conveyancer require in order for them to be able to do proper conveyancing professional services. So there's a challenge around the allocation of the professional fees within the subsidy, and that's an issue perhaps that I should have raised as our raising the general challenges that we face. And then we've got emergency intervention and SEPCON funding. You raised the issue, Chairperson, around those units that they've originally, Mr. Nishabani, did give a sort of history of the development of the NHPRC services. There was a time where NHPRC services was not enforced. Were not enforced, and during that time we have been delivered housing that have particular challenges, and we have had to go back to those houses to go and rectify them, and that's where we engage SEFCON to assist, do the necessary headcount and determine whether the numbers we're talking about are correct, and where these houses are found to have been inherently not maintenance-related challenges, but inherent defects that should not have been there in the first place, this is where we require assistance. And then emergency obviously quite straightforward. It's also an issue that we leave with a if you were to be caught upon to react, we'll be found wanting because the budget is not going to help us support that initiative of that calling. The next page says this is how we have allocated what we are being given, have been allocated to us. We're targeting the number of stands as they are there. 16, how do you add that, CFO?
All right, Chair, if I can
come Yeah, in. Maybe you can take over and do the numbers correctly. But I think for myself, then, that would be
it. Chair, we would love to achieve 16,214, but by virtue of the allocation, we have to reduce, and these figures will be possibly carried through to the budget speech of the MEC. They're subject to change. The budget speech has not been done. However, in 2009 and 2010, we're looking at 13,000 stands, top structure in terms of houses, around 29,000. And your social and rental units, as well as your community rental units, will be 5,903. Give us a total of 48,572, with about 3.1 billion, if I round it off, in terms of allocation. If you look at the next slide on the next page, Chair, it's just a further breakdown in terms of how we allocated the 3.1 billion. Over and above the one that we've highlighted in the previous slide, with additional activities and or functions. We have four regional offices, Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, West Rand and Citibank, Tshwane and Metsweding, and that's the allocation given to them as far as the final allocation. We have the operational capital, as the head of the department indicated, 50 million was not adequate, we have to up it to 100 million. Land acquisition, in terms of ring-fenced amount, where the HDA plays a prominent role, is 228 million rand set aside. Our head office allocation, which includes the individual subsidy allocations, is 200 million. And we have two urban renewal programs attached within the conditional grant, being Beckerfeld in Everton, and then your other areas of focus, housing needs, and your program four. Program four is your previous dispensation housing assets. That needs to be maintained, and as well as issues around rates and taxes. Chair, I thought I'll just, it's not in your presentation, I took the opportunity of taking advantage of the fact that National Year, I didn't know they were going to be here, just to highlight where we are in terms of our expenditure for 2009 and 2010. We are around 28%, and June is not over, this is as at the 9th of June in terms of the allocation. One of the challenges, like the HUD touched on, is going to be the issue around the budget and the allocations thereof. We are intending utilizing the existing funding to finalize the current existing projects, and the focus will be on finalizing these existing projects, where these projects need to be closed out and finalized. That's the intention for this current financial year. It's remnants of issues that rolled over from 2008 and 2009 in particular, where we have contractual obligations, and these obligations we're trying to close out on your existing projects. Review any new or proposed plans after the first quarter budget committee meeting based on the provincial and or departmental priorities, and that's where once the budget speech has been formalized and tabled, we will then be reviewing what targets and the impact thereof that needs to be achieved in 2009 and 10 out of the remaining budget allocation. We have issues in terms of also which we have to take into consideration the impact on the budget for 2009 and 10, in particular around outstanding claims, which we classify as accruals that would be paid in the beginning of the financial year that carries over from March. And it's quite a sizable amount that we have to take into consideration as well. the planning and reprioritization will also be considered during the new administrative directives and all priorities once the MEC has given those directives. We're going to utilize, if any, available funds to finalize planning for 2010 and 11. We have set aside funding for planning, like it was highlighted in the previous slide, in terms of the two regions. But we have to dissect that allocation to all four regions and not just focus on the two regions. And then we have to look at the issues in terms of management of our commitment registers, one of the key issues, so as to avoid the potential over expenditure in 2009 and 10. Chair, let me conclude there. There was one particular slide that the HUD had spoken about, which was the expenditure for 2008 and 9. We achieved a 99% expenditure with a 1% under expenditure. Just to emphasize that we actually could have overspent, but the provincial treasury literally took over the function of all provincial departments in GPG to avert a potential, or let me say a high potential of over expenditure. There has been departments that had overspent, but they literally took charge of the bank accounts of each department. And as a result thereof, it created a bit of a challenge of what payments go through and what does not go through. As a result, we had a 1% under expenditure. And that's our performance for 2008 and 9 and the plan for 2009 and 10.
Before we close, Jefferson, just one issue that you raised. I'm just looking at the kind of questions you raised that we should also be able to respond to around child-headed households. We do have our allocation criterion obviously looks at the time of application of individual applicants. But you also have what you call a special needs criterion, where we prioritize the aged, women, and the child-headed households, the disabled, and if we should find in those areas that they are military, that we also now added them as a fifth line in that category of special needs. So we do ask ourselves the question in each area as we allocate whether there are child-headed households.
Thank you.
That will close the presentation.
For members, Deputy Minister, you are welcome.
Gloria, Honorable Women, for now.
Thank you, Chairperson. With respect to Benny, I'm inclined to say seldom before has so little been said by so much of what has been said, because I'm actually left with more questions than answers, Chairperson. And perhaps I should also suggest that when we've got provinces and perhaps even agencies, that when a province or agency does a presentation, perhaps the others should wait in another room somewhere. Because they tend to now preempt, they know what we're looking for, what we're going to ask, and want to work in the answers into their presentation, even though it wasn't prepared. But having said that, Chairperson, I've got a whole bunch of questions. First of all, I want to get back to the deliverable. This time around, it coincides with the report that the National Department gave us. But when I look at the various slides, and perhaps in future the slides should have page numbers so we can then very easily refer to them. It's difficult this way. But if I look at the deliverables here, the figures doesn't add up for me. And the one problem that I've got that I have to emphasize once again, you'll notice in the 80,000 that was given to us, it is both houses completed, stands, serviced, and then units. Now, the stands serviced then are being counted this year. Next year the top structure is put on. Then it's being counted again. That is the concern that I have with all these figures, Chairperson, because they don't make a distinction next year. I mean, the department has shown housing delivery over 5 years, 80,000 units from Gauteng. That is not 80,000 units. And I think we need to get a clear distinction, because something is being counted twice. Now, and to bring it back to these numbers and the amount, I understand the reasoning why the targets were reduced when the subsidy amounts went up. But to my knowledge, the grant wasn't necessarily increased by that amount. So why the targets get reduced to allow for the increased subsidy, and then the final targets is much higher with the same amount of money? That tells me something about the planning. Similarly, and that goes for the previous province as well, they're reluctant to share some targets with us for the current financial year because the MECs are going to announce them in their budget speeches. But I would have thought, you know, they knew a year ago, or they knew as early as February what their budgets would be. They prepare along those budgets. You know, why this insinuation that target figures could change even tonight? What is going to change in terms of their budget? So it points to planning not being done properly. There was mention made about unforeseen geotechnical conditions. That is also of concern, because when a project is planned and started off, geotechnical surveys should have been done. They should know what the conditions are. So one shouldn't be surprised when you're busy with the project by finding unforeseen geotechnical conditions. That should not exist if the planning is once again done properly. I want to put to Benny, I've got some reports about contractors not having been paid in Gauteng. Now, mention was made about funds running short towards the end of the financial year and so on. But I want to know what the status is as far as that's concerned. Then, again, with the there were two slides. One was total budget required, which said 2.8 billion. And we know that there's a budget of 3.4 billion. And then we hear that they don't have enough money. So, just explain that rationale to me. That is what you require, 2.8. You've got 3.4, and you want more money. And then, Chairperson, this is perhaps for you. I think you should request that at some point, either if we go to Gauteng or they must come here, we need to get more information regarding the partnership fund. It's been said that they can get 1 billion rand if they get a capitalization fund of 250 million. Now, we need to find out how this thing works, because if it's true, and if it's not a Ponzi scheme, then there shouldn't be a problem with funds in Gauteng. Then also just a question, the urban renewal projects. Those are generally presidential projects. There should be funds from a national level. We have been told in the past that there has been problems from a national point of view. They haven't come to the party. Perhaps if they could just give us some information whether Treasury is giving additional funds to what province can set aside or not. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Bowman.
Chairperson, it may be that I'm new on this committee, but I don't find this presentation really helpful to me. First of all, and I don't want to go over the same ground that the Honourable Steyn has now raised, but even with the increase, and the change in subsidies and all of that, there's huge discrepancies here, and I'm just wondering if there... I don't know, maybe this report has been given like this year after year, but there must be a better way of presenting this and not separating out 2008-9 and 2008-10. I think it would just be a little bit more helpful to have the comparisons next to each other. And then I think now, in addition to what has already been said, I wonder if we could just go to that last slide when you talk about outstanding claims, for example. We don't seem to, I don't know, I might have missed it, but I don't know where there's any figure, how much, you know, in outstanding claims are we talking about, and what makes that up. I think that could be useful, because these are the sort of things that we actually do need to be looking out for. And then when we talk about 54 million for the NHBRC, and this is something we've been asking in all our presentations, what does that represent by way of numbers of enrollments of houses? Yeah, the 55,000 high-rise walk-up, and we, that is a focus that we do need to have, and that is to concentrate now on density and intensifying that. The 55,000, I'd just like a clearer understanding of what we are referring to with that, because we're not talking lifts or anything. I would imagine we're talking by way of foundations that need to be strengthened. I don't know. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Member. I think one question about the backyard rental program. The department has given us a figure of about 550 backyard dwellers that have to be attended to for this financial year. But in your presentation, was you said anything, maybe I missed it. And on the issue of the rectification program for the defects from 1994 to 2002, I don't know if you are still having that problem of, or you have already dealt with it, so you no longer have it in your province. And the last one, I think the issue of the housing sector plans. Do you get any cooperation from the local municipalities in terms of submission of the housing sector plan? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to know, has the Cosmos City been registered with NHBRC? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson, and Honourable Members. The first question is around why targets have changed, or why deliverables are not matching changed targets. I tended to respond to the question, and maybe the first part is that the targets were downsized because of the reduced subsidy. But then, and the second portion is actually related to some of the questions that were raised by a member of ours around the payment to contractors. Even as we, having the responsibility to reflect correctly in our record, that because the subsidy has gone down this much, they're going to have to reduce this much. On the ground, the contractors continued to work because by that time, they had already been allocated units. They continued to work according to their allocation. And that would necessarily exceed the budget. But then how did we manage to pay? First, we got additional allocation from the national department. That would deal with what, in any event, we could not prevent because the contractors by that time would have been allocated. But secondly, it actually even created some challenges around the payment of the contractor, because contractors would have gone on. And because they would have gone on at that pace, they would then have exhausted the budget that was available, and that's why we would then have contractors that would not have been paid until we got the new budget in this year. So that's how practically things happened. Around unforeseen geotechnical conditions, I think I was misunderstood. They were saying in informal settlements, most of the informal settlements, people would have moved there by themselves without, they would not have been taken there by government. And as we get into those informal settlements to either formalize or provide services and things, some of them it's possible to formalize, give service, and actually even convert them where they are because the land is fine. But in some instances, it's not possible. You can give them temporary services like we do. We give them water, sanitation, and everything else. But it means we still have to move them because the conditions there are not, geotechnically are not correct. It's not because we placed them there before we knew. But yes, I must admit, in one or two projects, we did find that townships, and some of these would have been part of older townships, like Portia, would have been there from history. And as we tried to extend into that, we found that the portion that we're targeting, on the presumption that this is an old township, the portion is not right and have been forced to move out. But we do have a professional services that assist in terms of the road project that goes on before we do any feasibility, pre-feasibility study. That's why I raised the issue around the I said the subsidy figure, even though it includes professional fees, that is not sufficient to deal with the kind of professional services that we require. And the issue around unpaid contracts I did touch, and we have we talk about that on a, if not daily, at least on a weekly basis. Even this morning, we had the opportunity to deal with that issue because we're probably together with the CFO. But almost every day, I look at what is outstanding, and I satisfied myself that all of the contractors are paid, and we are now dealing with a payment backlog of what month is this? April, May. That's where we are. We are still aware, or we are aware that we should not be talking about April, because that puts us outside our safety period and we're dealing with that. But March up to the other periods that were giving us headaches, we have dealt with them. So we're dealing with April and May at the moment. Those are the issues that we are outstanding payments that we're dealing with. And this is work that we have started in this year as well. Total budget required business, actually. You know what we have, we would actually do, we would, as we prepare for our budget, we would say, honorable members, this is the backlog that we have in housing. And in order to satisfy some of the goals, like for instance the medium development goals or the long-term goals, the 2014 goals, it means we must deliver houses at a particular rate. If we are, for instance, I'll take one program. If we are, for instance, to eradicate informal settlements by 2014, we know how many informal settlements we have. And in order to be, and therefore we know how many housing units must be delivered in order to eradicate. And we count and say, if we are to eradicate 200,000 backlog in the informal settlement, it means we must deliver houses at the rate of 50,000 per annum. And we calculate and we say, and then we go into all of the programs and look at what is the backlogs and what is the long-term target. And we then say, for all of these, we require 6 billion. And we also look at the capacity, and we say we do have the capacity to do all of that, and that's why we say 6 billion. You may find that it's actually 8 billion, but we don't have the capacity to do 8 billion, it's 6 billion. Then we then say those that are imperatives, that by 2011, before even 2014, 2012, you must complete them. Then we calculate those, and we come to a number, it gives us 3 billion. Then we come to what is actually in our kitty, and we find that in our kitty there's 2 billion. So that's how we are saying we've got a budget of 2 billion. If we are just to do those targets that are given dates, sell by dates, by this day we must have completed, we require 4 billion. But then if we are actually even to do the Millennium Development Goals included, we require 6 billion. And therefore,
we are never going to be able to. And as we do that, and we're looking in the MTF, and as we put it into the year that we are then able to come to these figures where we say we're given 3.8 billion. But in order to satisfy what we are able to do in terms of what capacity we have, we require so much. So we give you a budget-driven scenario, and then we also give you a target-driven or dates-by, sell-by-dates-driven scenario, and the scenario that says if in housing we are still with our backlog and satisfy other long-term targets, this is how much we need. So the fact that we're given 2.8 does not mean that that's all we have to do. We have to do more than what we have to do. I don't know whether it's still making. It's a pity this time around we did not bring this scenario. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, I just want to add one, because I'm actually getting the opposite of what I've asked. What I am asking is that the actual budget is indicated as 3.4 billion. But your requirement is actually indicated as being less. So it's the opposite from what Benny is saying. I'm saying if that is the case, if you require less than what you are given, then okay, why are you complaining that you need more money? So it's actually the opposite.
Okay, we'll deal with the numbers, but I was dealing with the principle, and that's why I was actually not even referring to this numbers here. I'm sure that the CFO will clarify somehow the sequence of the numbering there. But the principle is as I have outlined it. Information regarding GPF, we can provide that. With understanding that GPF now, with the kind of announcements that have been made, does not answer to us any longer. But I think we do have the responsibility. We can still bring that information so that the members can understand what we're talking about. So we commit that in the next step, we are invited in the next meeting. Hopefully, we should be able to bring information around how GPF works. The urban renewal programs, there may be presidential programs, but there is no national funding that comes from any national department. These are funded within the province. I should say not even from the national grant. The only portion that receives national grant is housing, and not in all of where we deliver housing. That money, some of it will come from the grant, but the entire, largely the urban renewal funding comes from the provincial allocation. I take your point, honorable member, that perhaps our comparison should be sitting side by side to make sense, and we shouldn't have have reported in the manner that we have. We will try to make it more readable in the next presentation. Outstanding claims, I've already dealt with it. We do not have outstanding claims coming from the previous financial year. We are now chasing to remain within our 30-day PFMA requirement. 54 million for NHBRC, I don't have that information, but the fact that we were able to come to 54 million would have been based on the number of units that we are paying for. But it's information that I do not have, that unless the CFO has got it in your information there. We don't have, but that's information that you can provide. What is the 54 million for?
because it is a result of a calculation that should have included the number of houses. Backyard rental programs, we do have it still in our program. We'll still have it in this year's program. We started with Orlando. We moved from Orlando to be partnered with the experiences that we have trying to improve as we move to the next one. We moved to Zola also, where we completed about 750 units. For this year, we are targeting those number of units in Mamelodi and Atteridgeville. So we do still have those programs. And actually, for the two-year period, it's more than 550, because it's 500 for Atteridgeville, 500 for Mamelodi, which will be done over 2 years. But for this year, we're targeting 550. Unless we, except if you get more resources, we do have capacity to deliver more than 550 to others. The housing sector plans. Oh yes, we do have cooperation from the local authorities. We have within the IDP section that we call the MHDP, the Municipal Housing Development Plan, that is done in conjunction with the department. We go out, in some instances, we actually even help finance that process so that then there is a unanimity between ourselves and the municipality. So there is that cooperation between ourselves and the municipality. Cosmopolitan registered with NHBRC? It should be. I'm not able to give a clean answer to say yes, but yes or no. But according to our policy, we should. And if our program, and that's a well-planned project, from planning to delivery test followed the strictest possible standards, I want to presume it should, but I'm not able to say yes, yes, categorically. I'm saying yes, because that should be the policy driving us in terms of that relationship. So that's something that we can also provide to say yes, yes, we do have that situation. And then the 55, I've left this question because I couldn't really understand it quite clearly around the 55,000 that was raised by the Honorable Member. 55,000 high risers.
Okay.
Or the 55,000 rent for the subsidy. Oh, okay, why I'm saying it's not sufficient. Okay. Again, this would be the figures calculated in feasibility studies. There would be additional expenses around what the slab, that will all be the technical information, but we can prove that. How, to show that the 55,000, while it is sufficient for a single unit that is just straightforward, why is it that it is? Have you got information around that, Anthony, in your laptop, how they come to the calculation? But yes, it is technical information that you can provide proof of as to how they come to a different number than what is available. If you don't have it, then we can, I don't know, the Shamani is also able to share that information.
Sure. Can I just do a follow-up? I just want to clarify, if that 55,000 isn't enough, because, I mean, many of our cities are going for this densification, what has been worked out as a workable figure for high-rise, you know, 2-3 stories, whatever, so that perhaps we can share that information around the country?
Thank you, Chair. just to clarify some of the points that were highlighted. The one slide spoke about the 2.8 billion as a requirement. That's not the total requirement. That just gives on the services and the top structure construction, including planning. It also goes on to say that there's other funding requirements which are also part of the conditional grant, which is the next slide, that then goes on to NHBRC registration, which is part of the conditional grant we have to pay for the operation of capital, etc. If one calculates just that, those particular figures, it's about 601 million that needs to be added. So it gives you around 3.5 billion if you have to take that into consideration. We did not factor in the SERFCON funding, and the SERFCON funding requirements is around 200 million to finalize the rectification. We have got, in fact, we're now concluding the rectification. In fact, it will be completed by September this year. And the total quantum for that is around 200 million. That will give you about 3.7 billion. The allocation letter we've received from National indicates 3.187086 billion allocated. The 3.4 is for 2010 and 11, and the outer year four, just over 4 billion for 11 and 12. If they're giving me 3.4, I'll gladly take it.
Madam Chair, it may be useful to once again just clarify one or two issues. The one being, in respect of the NHBRC, when a house is enrolled and covered by the warranty, it has to be paid for because the warranty is a form. Pardon my use of the word, but it's a form of insurance cover, so that when structural defects are found on that house, the NHBRC is then called upon to rectify that. Therefore, there's a fee payable for that, and provinces have to make provision for that in their budgets. In respect of my migration, I suppose, Madam Chair, it will assist the committee to, at some stage, create the space to be briefed in detail about the migration patterns in the country, because it will be perhaps a difficulty if we glibly talk about migration when, in fact, the details therein and the nuances therein have such implications to the country and the housing program. Hence, the department, MINMEC, has adopted a specific program that seeks to create affordable rental stock in major cities. And therefore, just coming back to the question as to what are the costings of that, that program is a full program with provision for the quantum, rather the financing mechanisms, to be aligned with the product. So the reality is that when you go medium density, your cost schedules go up for technical reasons, because your foundation is required in a particular way, access is also in a particular way, and so forth, safety considerations, and so forth. So the bill of quantities for high-rise, multiple occupation is inevitably higher, because by design, you are designing a different structure compared to a single freestanding house. And lastly, Madam Chair, The perennial question about the delivery figures has to be looked upon in the context of the development process. We cannot answer to the call it broken down figures, as the case may be, because we are accounting as to where we have spent the money. And therefore, we cannot only account for top structure or even for service stands or products that are in between. We have to account for the totality of where the grant is spent, and it is spent on all of those. And therefore, what I see the province has done here, they have attempted to delineate service sites, top structures, which is okay. The reality on a project level is that you will not be able to say the stands that are serviced in year one, of necessity in year two, that's where you build your top structure. It doesn't work like that in a development process. There is much attempt to align those with varying degrees of success because the conditionalities in local areas vary. And therefore, I think what we will take out of the questions is whether we are double counting or not. And I think that is the pointed question. That is what we will ascertain as to whether there's double counting or not. But as far as the figures we have, the possibility of double counting is eliminated. But we can come back to that or to the committee in respect of the specific details and the nuances that go with those details. But I'm just saying I'm appealing to the committee to appreciate that provinces in the main are seeking to account on what they spend the grant on, and it is on the full basket of their deliverables, which includes what is also not pointed there is that you also, in the process, you spend money planning, you spend money facilitating socially, you spend money on several other things that in themselves don't necessarily translate directly into a house. So if we are to account by program, we can do that. But when we aggregate, we have to account, we have 10 billion, what did that 10 billion buy? Madam Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Stanley, do you think if you cannot raise your question, anybody could die?
Nobody died, Chair, but the comment deserves to take into consideration.
Just one second.
Just to Joseph, when they look at segregating these things, I mean, for example, here in Gauteng, they're actually counting as part of their delivery in terms of the 80,000 houses, the number of houses transferred under the discount benefit scheme. Now, that distorts the picture in terms of deliverables. So they could just take that sort of thing into consideration.
I think we still have more time to deliberate on these issues because I think they are still going to have more engagement. Let's put them on our next agenda. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Benny and Anthony. We could see really that is a progress, but I think you are faced with a challenge. The people of Alex, they don't want to move to go to those houses that were built by Marlborough. Yeah, they don't want to move. I don't know what I'm going to do there. Because they are complaining that those houses are small than the area that they are today. So I think they are faced with a big challenge, but I hope that you are going to overcome that challenge. Thank you very much. You are excused, but as Mr. Stein said that it would be that other provinces are not here when we are interrogating each other. But it's for transparency purposes, there's nothing wrong because we learn from each other. So this is also a learning process. So we must accept that. There are good things that are done by other provinces where we think that other provinces can source them in. So, but if you feel that for time constraints,
but he can leave, or if you feel that he can stay a little bit, you are allowed to do something.
Thank you. Chairperson, to your permission, where are your members?
Yeah, my members. One, two,
information. We have got lesser members than we are supposed to be having as last time. So if you are having three or four members, it's a bonus. And I think for human settlements, we have been having a bonus for the whole of last week. From Monday, we were in meetings and we were having over members. So I think we are the most committee. Successful. And we've been engaging. This is the second week. And we have taken an advantage because we were given amaxesha amancane kakhulu. But we managed to enforce ukuthi let's get more time for housing, for human settlement. Let me welcome the MEC for Mpumalanga and the management. Because of the time you were there, we were not there by the time we were welcoming, I'm not going to get there, but you are welcome. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Madala Masu, MEC for Human Settlements in Mpumalanga. I'm accompanied by experienced officials who have been in this department sometimes. I won't waste any time, and just to appreciate that you invited us. The reason why we have to prioritize this is because I'm actually in the new department. I need to understand the committee, the colleagues, how they what is it that is expected out of here. We are going to just reflect a little bit on in terms of what our performance last year. But I just want to highlight that just one thing, because I was in the previous executive as well, that one of the challenges that we are going to come out here and things that we'll be emphasizing will be more is that Mpumalanga in the last term we happened to focus on evaluating what our problems were, historical problems were. And in the previous term we set a bar to clear them off in all the programs that we're doing as an executive. And the housing was also one of those that had a challenge of houses that were unfinished. So you see that phenomenon coming out. The other area will be on the informal settlement. You will see that phenomenon coming out, and especially when you talk about the current year in terms of where our emphasis are going to be. See that coming out more prominent. Thanks, Chair. I won't want to waste time out. I will discuss as matters are put at Janet. Thanks.
Thanks, MEC. My name is Cyril Dlamini. I'm the acting HOD in the department. Honorable Chair, members of the committee, we're reflecting on the slide that is indicated now, our spending for the previous financial year, 2008-09. Chair, as you may notice, we spent 99% of our budget. Our underspending was recorded on our compensation of employees and its related goods and services. That was basically one post that we couldn't fill in the previous financial year. and were also largely affected by promotions that took place during the year. And the goods and services that we underspent relate to those expenditures that relate to the compensation of employees. We can run to the next slide. This slide indicates the conditional grant that we received in the previous year. Our main appropriation was 629 million. On the adjustment column, Chair, there was an adjustment of 17 million that came from the National Department, which was an inflation adjustment increase. And we further received a special adjustment that was put through in February due to some reprioritization and some transfers of grant funding that was allocated to other provinces, to ourselves, who received 50 million there. The other 100 million that is within your adjustment column was money that was appropriated to the department from the province. The Executive Council appropriated 65 million to make an impact on the incomplete houses, and a further 35 million was allocated by the Executive Council from the provincial fiscus to deal with the emergency housing at one of our municipalities, the Bushbuck Ridge municipality that was affected by storm. We spent that whole budget chairperson. There was some little change of about 158 rands that remained unspent at the end of the financial year. We delivered 15,181 units out of a target that we had of about 4,800 that we are reflecting there. For the next slide, we're just recording on progress on some of the issues that we are currently dealing with. Like the first issue that we are reporting on here is the housing demand database. We have completed gathering all the information within our Shanzani District Municipality. The only one municipality that is outstanding there is the Bushbuck Ridge Municipality, where it's about 80% complete. That process is 80% complete. We hope to conclude this whole process by the end of this month. We're 80% complete in the other two districts, Ofengangala District and the Yohetsimande District municipalities. The matter regarding the housing chapters, Chair, we have gathered all the information that relates to development of the housing chapters of our IDPs of all municipalities. And we've had discussions with the municipalities in an effort to finalize those housing chapters. Yeah, currently, as part of the IDP process, we have to go through the Municipal Council for approval. We hope with the conclusion of these two pieces of information, which will be the housing chapter and the demand database, we'll then be able to, as we proceed going forward, be able to conclude our five-year strategic plan and implementation plan. Chair, in the next year, in this financial year, 2009-10, those are major objectives as a department. I'll zoom through into the next slide that talks about our allocation. Chair, on the compensation of employees from the main appropriation that we had in the beginning of the financial year, that has increased by 84%. And that accounts for 10% of the total budget of 968 million. The conditional grant, Chair, is sitting on your transfers and subsidies. You will notice that economic classification item increased by 26%. That 813 million that we are reflecting there as an appropriation for this financial year, a portion of about 795 million accounts for the conditional grant funding. We'll go to the next slide where we reflect that in depth. The conditional grant from the main appropriation, Chair, as you may notice, has increased for about 26%, the jump from the 629 main appropriation figure that we had last year. We've included the adjustments that came through there. It is now at the 790.95 million. It basically accounts for 82% of our total allocation. The 18% relates to our equitable share that we get from the provincial fiscal. The next slide for information, Chair, is because we were current as a department. You will recall, Chairperson, that in the previous financial year we had just splitted. We had the joint Department of Local Government and Housing, and we splitted, having a Department of Housing and a Department of Local Government. And our priority at the time was the issue of reviewing the Gano grant to make it respond to the issues of housing. Hence, therefore, you will notice that we had quite a number of posts that are currently vacant, which we wanted to fill. The arrangement that we had with the provincial treasury was that we're going to fill these posts over a three-year period. So in the previous financial year, the treasury allocated about 9 million rands to fill some of those posts. And in this current year, an amount of about 35 million has been allocated to our compensation of employees to fill some of those posts that remain vacant. We'll go to the next slide. Then the next slide, Chairperson, talks to our priorities. What we have done is that we have looked at the medium-term strategic framework and we have spoken to each one of the priorities as reflected on those MTSF priorities as they come from national Jefferson. Our area of work really talks to that priority of cohesive and sustainable communities, Chair. You will realize that as the MEC indicated, we are allocating an amount of 191 million to deal with the incomplete housing units that are coming from the previous financial year, which are estimated at about 4,079, as we are reflecting there. And indeed, on the second priority that we are looking at is the area of informal settlements, where our baseline indicator, as we quantified it in the previous financial year, Chair, indicated that we've got about 139 informal settlements in the province, which affect 107,000 households. If we were to eradicate that at a straight line, you would estimate that we need an amount of about 5.8 billion to eradicate all those. So we've basically prioritized this year a completion of top structure on those sites that we serviced in the previous financial year, 3,751. Those are cutting across several municipalities in the province. If that detail is needed, we can provide at a later stage. But among some of the municipality will be Umjindi and the Ligwa municipality, where we are allocating some units in the construction of the top structure that talks to that national priority using the top-up funding that we have received from the National Department of 20% of our grant. Those are the two projects that are a priority, and they are gazetted on the Dora Act, Chairperson. The other projects are across the province in about five municipalities. We'll also be servicing those 1,236 sites, that's an amount of 27 million, Chair, basically in three municipalities within the province, Mtsukwali, Dr. J.S. Moroka, and the governing Mbeki municipality. The next slide, Chair, talks to the problem that we had of quality of housing, the ratification program. On the first row, we're talking about those that are pre-1994. Here we're basically talking to the housing units that have got asbestos roofs. We're replacing those asbestos roofs with the corrugated iron sheets. We are going to deal with 530 housing units this financial year. We are currently assessing, Honorable Chair, the demand of baseline figures that the total requirement across the whole province. That's what we are currently doing in terms of assessment, so that as we plan going forward, we're able to incorporate all that demand into our five-year plan. We're also dealing with the ones that are after 2004 and 2002, share where we're going to deal with about 605 housing units, as we are reflecting. They're cutting across several municipalities within the province. These are those where we had already dealt with issues of assessment in the previous financial year. We're dealing with ratification this year. The other program chair talks to the issue of the veterans. When this program started, we had a requirement of about 255 housing units for veterans. In the previous year, we managed to deliver 10. We've got 245 to deal with, Chair. We could only provide for 50 units this financial year, mainly because some of the veterans were still dealing with issues of trying to secure land stands within the municipality so that we can build those top structures for them. The other issue is the matter regarding one of our BNG projects. We've got two BNG projects that we're rolling out this year. We have, to the limited funding that we have, Chairperson, we've only provided 400 units. 100 units to a project that we have at Mashishi, at the Tabacheo municipality, and 300 units for the project at Clarinet, at Emalahleni municipality. The next slide, Chair, deals with the issues of the hostel, the conversion of hostels to community residential units. We've got about 10 hostels that has been identified across the province to be converted to proper habitable structures. We have prioritized this year 6 hostels that will be completed. The other 4 hostels will be dealt with in the next financial year. We're dealing with issues of planning in this financial year. This will translate to an approximated 694 family units, Chairperson. These are at Emalahleni municipality, which is one of our economic growth points in the province. Also at Emakhazeni and in Tabacheo municipality. The other priority, as per the MTSF, is that speaks to issues of rural development. We have planned to deliver 683 rural houses within the province. These are accounts for projects that we started some years back. These are accounts for your incomplete houses and 201 farm dweller houses that will be completed by the end of this financial year. The next slide talks to backlogs that we have been having in terms of social amenities, Chair, on the priority of social and economic infrastructure. We will be delivering 6 social and economic facilities, which is a community hall and daycare centers. We have identified about 13 that we need to deal with. The other 7, we're dealing with issues of planning in this financial year, quantification of the work that needs to be done, and possible appointment of service providers by the end of the year, so that when we reach next financial year early, construction can begin on those 7. This year we're completing the 6. We've put aside 21.992 million to deal with issues of NHBRC registration. And we've set up PMUs. We've got 4 PMUs professionals in the province, 1 per district and 1 PMU that is stationed at the provincial office. It is assisting us with the issues of quality control inspections and engineering and quality surveying expertise. So we've put aside that money to pay for those. It talks to the process of the demand database that I was talking to, Chair. The 6 million that is allocated towards concluding that mandate on that target of having an improved public service that can better plan for our deliveries. The next priority, Chair, talks to the priority of fighting crime and corruption. We intend to recover the monies that are owed to the department from 125 contractors. 65 of those contractors, of those cases, have been referred to private attorneys, while 60 are with the SIU. We put aside 800,000 to deal with those cases. And we're also dealing with the officials that were also involved in these cases. These are cases where you find that a contractor had claimed for milestones that were never achieved, while the inspector on the ground had certified that those milestones were achieved. So we're taking those contractors to court to recover those money. Chair, on the issue of creating decent work, we are estimating to appoint about 40 contractors to deal with the work that we need to deal with, and we have estimated that 118 skilled workers will be able to get employment, and 94 unskilled workers will be able to get employment when we deal with these outputs that we've flagged there. And also the issue of filling all the posts that we currently have, Chair, on the organogram. Chair, my apologies. The figure of units that we'll be dealing with in this financial year, these were since we've got about 9,885 units that will be delivered in this financial year. And that will be the total budget that we have to deliver these units, as indicated on the grant framework. The other slides that come through here, Chair, we've just flagged projects that we need to deliver within the 100 days plan. In the province, we've got the 100 days from the inauguration of the premier. We've got projects that have been elevated to be a priority to be delivered within that 100 days. We have indicated that an 806 units will be delivered within the 100 days. These 100 days started from the inauguration of the premier, which was the 11th of May. And we have currently completed about 180 units of that 862 units. We're also flagging that those community halls and daycare centers that I've indicated earlier, three of them need to be completed within this 100 days, Jefferson. And we also intend to hand over taxi deeds, 2,049 taxi deeds that will be handed over within this 100 days, and complete the first phase of a conversion of a hostel that is at Emalahleni in office, which will also be completed within the 100 days. The next slide. The other issues that follow here, Chair, are issues that are objectives that are financed through the equitable share. These are matters that are not necessarily financed through the conditional grant. I would like to end the presentation here with your permission, Chairperson, and allow the committee to interact with the presentation. Thank you
very much, Mr. Lennon. Over to you, Honorable Miller.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first question is going to be just some clarification around the very large increase in the compensation of employees. The gentleman indicated that they had the local government and housing in one department, they're now splitting them. So I therefore need to know why then such a big increase required, 84% in the compensation of employees. It sounds like it's almost going to double them. And perhaps while I'm at this, Chairperson, just a very general question.
Some provinces have local government and housing together, others have them separate, and perhaps at some point they need to give feedback as to what works best. Because I know in, I think it was the Eastern Cape, they made a decision to split them. In Gauteng now, they brought them together again. Here in Mpumalanga, they're deciding to split. So perhaps at the MINMEC level, they need to give feedback. What works if they either separate or not? Then, Chairperson, once again, I must highlight the discrepancy with the delivery totals between what is presented here by Mpumalanga and what is presented by the national department that Mpumalanga has given. They indicated 16,000 for the last financial year. Does Mpumalanga actually know what their backlog is? Because in some instances they do give some indication, but then they also say that it's currently assessing the backlog. And if memory serves me correct, Chairperson, it was the one province where we were last year where there were houses that was not of a bad quality, that was standing empty because they didn't know the backlog. They actually built more houses than was needed in that particular area. And then lastly, Chair, the funding of, while it's obviously admirable, and maybe it still comes from there having been local government and housing, but the funding of community halls and daycare centers, is that a separate funding or does it come, because I would imagine it doesn't come out of the conditional grant. Conditional grant is condition for specifically housing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to say how nice it is to have the MEC here, the first one that we've had this morning. And then if just I can pick up on a couple of things here. On the, I think it was your first slide, where you give the percentage of spending, you seem to be down on housing, planning and research. Whilst all the others seem to be quite well delivered, if you could just have a comment on that. I also just want to ask, on the rectification program where you are repairing badly built houses, you mentioned the 530 and the 605. What is the total that you have got to repair? I don't seem to be picking that up. A question about the veterans. I just would like to know, you don't seem to comment about the size of their houses. Are you having a problem with veterans about the size of the house that you're building for them? Are they in dispute over that? And then of concern is the contractors defrauding the department. Because this is an area that we really are trying to deal with across the country. And I would like to know whether those contractors are now not given any more contracts. Once they are found to have defrauded in any way, that they're not given any contract. And then to say thank you, also you've laid out very nicely here the fact that your job creation and right down to the skilling of your labourer component. So thank you for that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think the issue of splitting up the department, it came up strongly from this committee, if you remember, because we were insisting that hence there are people tend to not to bring more attention to housing. So, but maybe it could be open for discussion again, but I think it came out strongly from us as this portfolio committee. And then I think the issue of, I haven't heard the department mentioning the issue of blocked projects. Do you have any blocked projects in your province that are still not being attended? And there was a land issue. I remember 2 years back, the province bought land for huge sums of amounting to 90 something million rand. but I'm not sure, but it was something around that. So we would like to know what happened to that land that was purchased by the province. And another thing, there was a municipality, Mr. Dlamini would remember that municipality. Because I don't have my documents with me, I was trying to get the name. I don't know if it's Lewa or Lelewa, where the mayor was not there, and there was a new housing development, and the portfolio committee recommended that project must not continue because there was really a lot of havoc there. And on the site, on the other side of that development, the community was also staging a protest there to say they were waiting for so long for the rectification program. And you promised that you are going to attend to that. So if you can help the committee to clear those issues. Thank you. Deputy Minister.
Thank you. Sorry, thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to go back to the committee, but just to help. With regard to the issue of them building, buying the land, in fact, they were buying buildings, if we remember. It was the land and building in Mpumalanga. Maybe they've changed now because there's new administration, but we would like to know what happened to that, to those buildings that were bought at that time. And I suppose you are talking about the visit that we had in Secunda. That's the issue of the municipality which had a problem that time. The other area that we thought it would be important, given the new MEC, was with regard to the committee visit and parliament to Bushbuck Bridge. You remember there were projects which were meant to be handed over from Limpopo to Mpumalanga. At that time, there were problems in resolving those issues, because there was no proper handover from Limpopo to the Mpumalanga area. Fortunately, there was a representative from municipalities and from the department. Those are the matters that the new MECs need to be dealing with, because there is a report to that regard. And the department itself, in terms of national, they do have a rep which was in that delegation. So those issues that we can resolve the problem of the beneficiaries in that area. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. Just take the questions as they came. The questions that came from the Honorable Stain regarding the issue of the compensation of employees, why has it increased so much? Honorable Chair, our intention when we did split up the department, you will recall that we were complaining about issues of capacity, that the department didn't have sufficient warm bodies to deal with the job that is involved within the issue of housing. You will recall that what we had at the time was you can imagine a whole program of housing was only headed by one chief director in the province, and our intention was to build that capacity to handle the housing issues. And secondly, the issue of our technical. You will recall that we only had about 11 inspectors for the whole province, which was a serious anomaly. So we needed to review the organogram to beef up that technical capacity to deal with the issues of quality of the units that we deliver. So indeed, we embarked on a process of reviewing the organogram and put in the necessary posts within the organogram, which was quite an extensive exercise, Chair. We had to benchmark with other provinces. We had to also get source and approval from DPSA of the organogram before the Executive Council could approve it. We then indeed quantified the costs that will go into funding that organogram. It was quite a very high cost, and then we agreed with the provincial treasury that we needed that organogram to be funded over a 3-year period. Hence, in the last financial year, a 9 million rand was allocated to fund the post that we considered critical. And subsequent to that, there was an allocation for this financial year of about 35 million that goes towards funding most of the posts that that we had created on that account. So that will account for the significant increase on that compensation of employees. The issue regarding the backlog figures in terms of housing delivery, we're looking upon this demand database, this process that we want to finalize by the end of this month. That is going to at least give us a clear indication of the housing need in the province. But what we're currently doing is that we're using the Stats SA figures of 2001, which are a bit outdated. They reflected at the time that we had a backlog of about 260,000. And when we do a straight line deduction of how many units that we have delivered since 2001, the backlog is currently estimated at about 168,000. But these are just figures that we're taking from the state's SA census of 2001. But we hope this demand database will give us exactly the backlogs and the actual beneficiaries that are there that qualify for low-cost housing and all other category of houses that we offer. The funding for the community hall, Chairperson, that funding for the community halls, we're funding it through the conditional grant. The conditional grant is also allowing us to deal with the social amenities, which are backlog that has been created by the manner in which we have been delivering houses in the past without making them have such social amenities. So we're finding that through the grant itself. The other question regarding the program housing planning and research, why that underspending? You know, some of that underspending is directly linked to compensation of employees, Chair. I think the technicality or the problem that we had was what we call the cost centers of where the people were drawing the salary on the court structure as it is reflected on the system. You will notice that the other program has overspent by the 3 million. So what we did when we finalized the financial statements was to do those viaments to try to offset that 3 million that was overspent on the other program. But that is largely an issue that relates to compensation of employees and what they call the linking of costs from PESAL into the accounting system, your basic accounting system that reports on your spending. But we have since rectified that in this financial year. People get paid from the program for which they are working under. The issue regarding the baseline figure in terms of rectification, that's the one that we're saying we're currently verifying. The ones that we are dealing with, these are requests that have come from the municipality, and we've been dealing with these requests as they come, prioritizing them as they come. Go out there, do the assessment, and then once the assessment is concluded, we do the actual rectification. But what we want to do in terms of planning going forward is that we are currently verifying the whole backlog in terms of rectification, how many units per each municipality needs to be rectified, so that then we can plan them over time as to how many are we going to assess and rectify as we go forward. The issue of the size of the houses for the veteran, it is an issue that has been raised. We recall, Chair, there was a workshop that was called where veterans were called in to make some kind of representation in housing. It's one of the issues that veterans had raised in terms of the of the sizes of the units that that we are providing to them. But we are basically limited by policy, Honorable Chair, unless there is a policy that is stipulated on this regard. We are unable to move out of the units that we are, or the size of the units that we are currently providing at the quantum rate. So we basically deliver the 45 square meter houses that we are delivering to the rest of the beneficiaries within the province. We're not giving them any different size in terms of bigger sizes of houses, no. But indeed, we'll appreciate if there could be some kind of a policy that would guide us, because we do hear that other provinces are giving them bigger size of houses, more especially KZN. The contractors that we have been cancelled, the ones that were dismissed, which we are trying to pursue legal action against them, indeed, these are the ones that we have blacklisted. We're not giving them any work within the department. We've also submitted this list to the provincial central supply chain management unit that sits within the treasury to also blacklist these contractors so that they don't necessarily get any work across the provincial administration. The other issue that has been raised by yourself, Chairperson, is the issue that relates to block projects. We currently do not have any blocked projects in the province. All the projects that we had blocked at the time, where additional funding was allocated to unblock them. These were the old projects that were left by some of those contractors that we had appointed, which we are pursuing. So all those projects were unblocked, Jefferson. There was one other project that was blocked, but indeed the geotechnical reports on that project indicated that the area is dolomitic, so we couldn't continue with that project. That was within the Delmas municipality. So that project was basically closed. So currently we do not have any block project. The land that we acquired, indeed it is true, we acquired about 9 pieces of land, which are currently at a planning phase, Honorable Chair. Going forward, as we roll out the human settlement in the BNG manner, we are intending to utilize these properties to try to fast-track housing delivery. These were mainly in the high economic growth areas within the province. These were basically at your Mbombela municipality, your Govanimbeg municipality, and in Steve Chwete municipality. Indeed, what we did when we acquired these pieces of land, some of these pieces of land had a house on it, it's a big farm that has a house on it. We registered these pieces of land in the name of the municipality, and we signed an agreement with the municipality that they are not going to sell the land. This land will be a joint development with them to deal with issues of human settlement. Then we also agreed with the municipality that while we are dealing with issues of planning, the municipality will let out those houses that are on those pieces of land to people that want to rent those houses, and they are collecting rentals on those, because in one of the pieces of land there was a lodge. So the Mbombela municipality is renting that out and collecting that renter. The other issue that you are raising is it was at the Likwa municipality, specifically at Mahason, around your Standerton area. What had happened, indeed, after the portfolio committee has instructed that we needed to stop construction in that project, because one of the challenges that was there was that we were building smaller units than the units that we are currently constructing. we indeed stopped that project. And what we did was that that was during the time when we were cutting the project to the approved beneficiaries. So we did stop the project and delivered all those units that were as per the beneficiaries that were approved on that project. Only new beneficiaries that came up were being prioritized for a new project. And on issues of ratification, we have already appointed a service provider that is currently doing an assessment on 300 units within that municipality. They are due to present a report by this financial year with all the quantification of the ratification work that needs to be done. The ratification work within that municipality will be done in the next financial year. We had only planned for the 300 units as submitted by the municipality. And then there were questions raised by the Honorable Deputy Minister. I think the issue of the land and building I've already responded to. I think the one matter is the issue regarding the project at the Bushbuck Ridge Municipality. We had set up a task team, Honorable Chair, between ourselves and the Department of Local Government and Housing in Limpopo. Myself as Acting HOD and the Acting HOD in Limpopo even sat in some of the meetings where we took decisions that indeed in line with the protocol agreements that we had at the time when those redemarcations were done. We agreed that each province will complete projects that had already been started within whatever municipality that they were dealing with. So we agreed that Limpopo will complete those projects. And indeed, the information that I have is that those projects have been reactivated. There was budget allocated in this financial year by the Limpopo department, and that there are contractors on site in all of those projects that were identified. And the agreement is that all those projects need to be completed by December this year. So we are jointly monitoring between ourselves, Limpopo, and the municipality as well. And there is a task team that meets on a monthly basis to review progress and deal with any challenges that come up of that process. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Just to follow up on the question regarding the land and the buildings, I presume it's not being leased out, the lodge, for example, for something like 50 rand per annum, so that the municipality or the province is actually not losing out on these properties that's been acquired. That was just a comment, Chairperson. I'm still not satisfied with the increased capacity, and whilst I recognize that you probably do need to increase your capacity, I'm looking at your deliverables for this financial year. It's been reduced by 32% from what you delivered the previous year, and yet you're telling me that you're going to increase your capacity by 84%. Now it doesn't make sense. I would like to see if you're going to increase your capacity and your skills, that obviously the output is going to increase by some equivalent. But to get the one going in the opposite direction and the other one going, it either means that the people they currently have worked too efficiently, or the new staff complement is not going to work efficiently enough. Then the question about the deliverables, the figures, compared to what's in the National Department's report, the discrepancy. I haven't heard an answer, and I will continuously bring that up, Chairperson.
Can you read it for yourself? Because we didn't pay it. I think the issue of SHS, I think there's that community survey that was done conducted last year in 2008, and most of the provinces have been utilizing it, and it seems to be assisting instead of taking the old figures, of utilizing the old figures. And I think
once for Mpumalanga. We need to upload Mpumalanga on the services of farm worker housing program. There's no other province that is doing very well like Mpumalanga. At least we have never seen any more missing bed. At least there is a progress on that one. But it doesn't mean that you are doing very, very well. You still have some milestones and hiccups that you need to attend to. Can you respond to Mr. Stain's concerns?
When we are approving the split, and the executive, what we realize is that what you recommended from the committee was correct, because that was the only time that we realized that there was no existence of a housing department at all, or a housing unit that was dealing with the matter. The HOD spoke about the chief director, and got the chief director and almost about three directors that were there, and some of them were not filled the post. And if you look at the call that they were supposed to do, you just raised something here which relate to this matter on that program, planning and housing planning research. That's the area where you need to have your engineers and so. That unit was in non-existent. There was not even I remember there was only one, and it was not a professional. It was not at the level of a professional, registered professional. So when we agreed on increasing, it was on the basis of increasing numbers that are dealing with the core, because most of the people that were there in the department were more on the administrative side and so on. We didn't have the side, the actual on the core having that. And that's why even up to now, the department, even this year, they still, that challenge that you see that this is slammed down in terms of performance around in that area. With regard to the farms, yes, it's a challenge, and one of the things that we agreed as the department is to set up a process to tackle this area. We just did an analysis of all the projects that we thought this year we'll deal with. We just find out that the issue of land ownership becomes a question of where the community that is sitting there. It means that we must go to a whole range of negotiations with the farm owners to allow you to build on. The performance, why did we perform? We agreed that the department, because it doesn't have capacity, it must just rely on them, must outsource, must get consultants more. That's why even now, the HOD was talking about three PMUs, which is unheard of, which is, if you look at it, it's a challenge. How do we have three PMUs, or four PMUs at a time? The reason why I had to do that was because the department was really, we were worried about even our performance in the previous years of our. So the increase that you see is on the basis of the plugging and the getting out of the private capacity to come and assist us to go. But the part of the condition was that as you assist, you must also show us where we must capacitate the department to be able to carry out this task.
Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. A different year from the DDG finance, our side, that if the provinces utilized the conditional grant for building community halls and daycare, what are the possibilities of reclaiming that amount of money from public works? Because that money is meant for housing. But this instance, they take an initiative out of a need. What are the possibilities of reclaiming that money, so that the houses are built in
Kumala? Thank you, ma'am. Okay.
Maybe to the province. Was that part of the plan that they had? When they put up this housing plan, or business plan, where those community halls and they kept part of that plan, or are we talking here about creative fiscal dumping?
I must help the province. Thank you very much. In when we members I remember when we came up with the BNG, we were dealing with real problems on the ground. One of the things the new grant had was to amalgamate what we had been piloting for 3, 4, 5 years under the Human Settlement Redevelopment Program, which was funding in some of these things to try and deal with dysfunctionalities where there were things that are not there, and the likelihood of them being there in the new, particularly in the new townships that were being developed, was not there in terms of the coordination, etc. In BNG, we had provided that there would be, for a limited period, allowing space for a properly coordinated arrangement, both in terms of planning and implementation, for the development of those things that are required by the new settlements, and some of those that had been built without any, and there was still no plan in place to deal with them. And that was to be limited. And these things were very rudimentary. You know, we were not providing for the business complexes, etc. Now, we're tricked also to some extent by Treasure, because one of the things we wanted, which they then developed as this new community development fund, was to deal with these things. We didn't want a sophisticated, high level that thing. We wanted something that would ensure that these municipalities are able, these communities are able to function at least up to a point where the full development is done, particularly for those townships that didn't have them from inception, at least to ensure that they do get these services. Obviously, we provided for a negotiation with the sector departments that would be providing these to allow for that kind of thing, where that department would be able to reinvest the housing program. We were also aware that that would be where you get that would be the best case scenario, because some of the departments themselves would be struggling with this thing. I think there is a question that was asked by Honorable Stein around the discrepancy. I think the discrepancy is not big, it's not a huge discrepancy, it is a discrepancy. I'm certain that we can still, because very often provinces give us the preliminary numbers on their delivery, and then further reconciliations and verifications are done later, and they give us the final numbers. They usually give us the final numbers towards the end of the first quarter, after the end of the quarter for which they were reporting. So we'll go back to those, I think, 16,000 and 14,000 something, that is a discrepancy about 1,000 and something. We can deal with that. When we do the final publishing of the final statements, we'll have done it on the basis of the verified information. I think that I hope that helps. That one can be answered by the province. I was answering from what we provided provinces with the actual plan and what arrangements are there, they will have to respond to.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Let me first begin by putting the member, Honorable Stein, at ease. The lease agreements that were signed on those properties that were on the land that we acquired. In actual fact, the negotiation was such that the tenants that are there will continue with the rentals in the manner that they were paying them with the owner of the property at the time. And they were just those agreements had to just be signed between the tenants and the municipality, but without necessarily changing the rental fee, the monthly rental fee. So indeed, we are confident that the rental that is being paid is at least market related. The issue of the plan, I take it the Honourable Tanji is asking if it was part of that township of that town planning
at the time when that township was planned. In some instances, yes, the space for a community hall was provided for within that township planning of that particular area, and in some instances it was not. Like on your Utingo Park at Emalahleni, there was provision for a hall to be built there. So we're putting it on a site that was planned for a hall to be built. But in some of the settlements, like your Mbombela, Tewane, the municipality had to provide some other piece of land within the settlement where we could put up the hall. So it varies from one settlement to the next. Thank you.
I think the issue that we have to address when we come back or when we meet is the issue of equity, because we have requested the other provinces that they must also reflect on that issue. For instance, the issue of the persons with disabilities, how many that we have managed to accommodate, and retired headed families. And I think the other issues around the issue of that land, pieces of land you are having. I think the SDA, I don't know if you ever thought of engaging the SDA about such pieces of land, if they might also assist in the development of because we are having a very, very pressure on the delivery of housing. So for today, I think we have come to end of our program, and I would like to thank all the participants, honorable members of the department and the office of the minister for coming to these very important discussions, and your participation was very, very much appreciated. It was very much of value, because when we say we have to work collectively, we mean business, because the right hand should know what is going on the left hand, so that we tackle these challenges together. We don't point fingers to anybody else, because at the end of the day, if we are the failures, are going to reflect to all of us. So I really, really, on behalf of the portfolio committee, appreciate this working relations that we have started at the beginning of our term. Let's hope we will be able to get the European term to serve the last and go.
I just want to ask, I don't know whether we're still going to have these other provinces now. No. So, I mean, have they sent apologies? Do we know anything about why they're not here?
Yeah, the Eastern Cape will say that they are on their way, as they're not receiving anything for them.
We'll reschedule them. Now, I think our next committee is going to be next Tuesday.
For less than a week, we'll have plenty.
Can I just have clarity? What time do we start these meetings? All right, so even if other things come in, it says 9 o'clock, we are actually starting at our bottom.
Chairperson, now that we've got another week before we are meeting, is there any chance we can get the next reports from the provinces before we actually arrive here?
I think this level a little bit could be a bit confusing because they get it as a fear. They get it as a fear. They still appoint somebody.
Yeah.
So rather lift it with them and then.
But those are agencies.
You can lift this one here. So that it becomes clear that who is the ultimate developer. But here they are doing it as a government, they still appoint.
Yeah, implementing it.
And therefore you can have developers even there.
Developers.
Oh. In fact, say developers and contractors.
Actually, it's called, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm saying, okay, then the delivery space.
Yeah.
We are talking about.
No, that's, in fact, you can put it there, but just,
yeah,
you can make sure that they are not the same level.
And then there's that monstrosity with treasure.
Yeah.
By Consabu Maspala.
Yeah. Which is not a point here. They really did that. That's our program. We developed
that story.
And they stole it. And then they don't even provide for the totality, the coordination and everything. Now they don't know what to do with it. By the way, I'm told they say they don't want it.
The Ekaska will take it.
Which is good.
I'm here till tomorrow, because tomorrow we're convening with province.
Somebody must not leave that.
Thank you for reminding me.
Let's not stay in a closed discussion.